Who's Kaiser Söze?
He's supposed to be Turkish. Some say his father was German. Nobody ever believed he was real. One story the guys told me, the story I believe, was from his days in... There was a gang of Hungarians that wanted their own mob. They realized that to be in power, you didn't need guns or money or even numbers. You just needed the will to do what the other guy wouldn't. After a while, they come into power and then they come after Söze. He was small time then, just running dope, they say. They come to his home in the afternoon, looking for his business. They find his wife and kids in the house and decide to wait for Söze. He comes home to find his wife, raped, and children screaming. They tell him they want his territory, all his business. Söze looks over the faces of his family. Then he showed these men of will what ill really was. Tells him he would rather see his family dead than live another day after this. He lets the last Hungarian go. He waits until his wife and kids are in the ground, and then he goes after the rest of the mob. He kills their kids. He kills their wives. He kills their parents and their parents' friends. He burns down the houses they live in and the stores they work in. He kills people that owe them money. And like that,
from the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
Why, hello. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of August, in the year of our Lord 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. I am he. It is Thursday, and welcome to day 12. And we appreciate your radio patronage and your presence. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon, as Jason Sporber would say. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 970. If you'd like to join us today with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your 2 cents, your what have you, your comments about the interesting, the groundbreaking, the tedious, the mundane, Scotty J is standing by, not really ably, but he's just sort of there, standing by waiting to pass along your phone calls about any and all subjects today as we proceed with more stories of comedy. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I hold in my hands, today I'm writing with the Uniball Signo Micro 207. That is the pen of choice. Tim, what pen are ye holding today? Microphone off.
A Uniball J-U-G-N-O-R.
A Jugnor?
I believe so, yeah.
I've used that. That's not a bad pen at all.
That's a Dave Zinn pen.
See, Dave Zinn is not only the gatekeeper, he is the pen master here. Because he is the guy who gets you all the office supplies. Whatever it is you want, you need pens, you need push pins, you need post-it notes, you need dry erase boards. That's a guy who can get things for you. He's sort of like Morgan Freeman in The Shawshank Redemption. You come up to Dave in the prison yard and you ask him to get the, you know, like a rock hammer. And while you're at it, a case of Uniball Ultra 5s. So I got this pen, which is fantastic, although it's not quite, it's about 98% there. I just discovered that Pilot is making a brand new V7 pen, though, that I'm very tempted to try. I'm going to quit talking about this now because I realize it's unbelievably, excruciatingly dull for almost everyone. So, we're done. 503-733-2970 if you'd like to join us today in the program. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also email the rest of the crew here. Sarah at 970.am, Tim at 970.am, or Scotty J at 970.am. At this moment, Scotty J buckling down and buttoning up the remainder of our CNN radio correspondence. We are booking, we are scheduling, we are prioritizing, we are triaging and itemizing all those events which will be happening in the next 4 hours of this radio broadcast in the future, where you will spend the rest of your lives. And that was just a little pause for no reason. All right, here's what's coming up today. I believe I'm teasing some of these things, not entirely knowing whether or not they will actually happen, because we are that bridge collapse, which is freaky, by the way. That bridge collapse is sort of throwing the whole CNN thing asunder, or a word like that. It's playing havoc with everything because they've had to send like everybody they know to Minneapolis. First of all,
this is the first time we heard about Minneapolis since Mary Tyler Moore worked there.
Unless it has to do with a woman throwing a hat into the air. Did you see that old woman who stands there and watches Mary Tyler Moore through the hat? She just died a while back.
Yeah.
He just died. So unless it has to do with Mary Tyler Moore or Prince, I don't really think about Minneapolis a whole lot. And for the bulk of yesterday afternoon, I was convinced that it was Mississippi where a bridge had collapsed because it was, in fact, on the Mississippi River. Is that right?
Yes.
So, all right, I'm looking at this here. So, 11:40, it's all very confusing.
Okay, so we had to mix it around a lot because Amanda Moyer's been on since 3 a.m.
All right.
So she's going to be on at
1:10 a.m., Scotty has written here.
Yeah.
Here's what Scotty's written. I hold in my hand the CNN prep sheet. According to Scotty, Amanda Moyer will be on at 1:10 in the morning. Steve Kastenbaum will be on at 2:10 in the morning. Rachel McGrath will also be on at 2:10 in the morning. And Lisa will be on in 20 minutes.
Okay, so we have Steve Kastenbaum at 11:30. We're going to do Lisa Goddard at 11:45.
11:30, Steve Kastenbaum.
Amanda Moyer at 1:10. And then we're going to do Rachel McGrath at 2:10.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Sarah. All right. 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today. We will talk to CNN Radio correspondent Amanda Moyer, who is in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where inexplicably the Mississippi River courses through the middle of it. I mean, I don't know anything about geography, blah, 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 Sam Cooke. But is Mississippi anywhere near Minneapolis?
Mississippi is a southern state.
Is that
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis is northern, is it not?
Minneapolis is the city.
Is this one of those? Is this one of those Paris, Texas things where they just started randomly named? Like they ran out of new names.
So Minnesota is the state you're thinking of.
Right, but
it has nothing to do with Mississippi.
But I'm saying how is it that the Mississippi River is in the middle of Minneapolis?
Oh, rivers are long.
There you go. It can't be summed up any better than that. Rivers are long, and math is hard. All right, fantastic. CNN Radio correspondent Amanda Moyer will join us today from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where this bridge collapse has just rekindled every childhood phobia I ever had about bridges. And I didn't even, I mean, I don't think there's any video of the bridge actually collapsing. I mean, just sound morbid about it, but that's the thing you wonder.
They just posted something as well.
Is it like a traffic? Are there traffic cam videos of the bridge sort of falling into the river?
Dashboard cam or something? I just saw it posted.
Oh, that's just freaky. And they're still pulling cars out. And they're still
They're squished.
That's the technical term for that. As of this morning, I logged onto the Drudge Report this morning, and they said that they were. I don't know if this is true or not. This may have just been somebody with a falsehood. On the Drudge Report this morning, they were saying that they thought there were still people alive, just sort of pinned. How do I put this? Pinned under the bridge, but not underwater.
Right. There are 30 missing, 79 injured, and 4 dead.
And so there were these cars that they thought where the bridge had fallen. The car had fallen off. The bridge had then landed, pinning the car in the water, but not under the water. But, of course, the people were unable to break the windows or get the doors open. And so they were just sort of sitting there. Yeah, sitting there underneath the bridge. Oh, are you kidding me?
No.
Oh, I don't ever want to see that again. Tim just found video of the bridge collapsing. All right. We'll post a link to that on rickemerson.com. Okay, how messed up is that?
Ugh.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, can you send me the link to that? Tim, you email that to me when you get a chance?
I certainly will. I'll do it right now.
Thank you. Jesus, that'll haunt your nightmares for the rest of your life. Oh, God.
So we shouldn't complain about them closing down all the bridges.
Seriously,
close
them all. Fix them now.
Leave the Burnside Bridge closed for years.
I'll live here at the station for the next 6 months. Do whatever you have to. Make them secure. Good Christ on a stick. That's no good.
Okay, I'll just send it to you.
All right, thank you. I'll post that later, this awful, gut-wrenching video of the bridge collapsing. Look, I don't even... how do I put it? I'm not saying I don't care. What I'm saying is the loss of life is horrible. Even if there had been no loss of life, That's some footage that will stay with me forever. I won't ever forget that. Because I think about that all the time, and now you will too, even more. And I was saying to Bridget upstairs, we were talking about this, when it was just the very first detail to this bridge collapse had come out, and I was noting that I don't really think about bridges collapsing until I'm in rush hour traffic and the cars are just sitting there. And then you start to think about the assembled weight of all the cars, all the trucks. You look, and it's always some huge Dairy Gold milk tanker that weighs 100,000 pounds sitting next to you. And you start to wonder if the guys who designed the bridge, they really anticipated that. You start to think how old the bridges are. You start to think about that big sign on the Selwood Bridge. It's like, warning, big chunks of this crumble away underneath you every day. I mean, it's not right. All right, anyway, we're going to talk to CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer about that. Steve Kastenbaum will join us later on today. We'll talk. I swear to God, this will be the last day we ever do this. It'll be the last day we ever talk about Whoopi Goldberg on the show. Just because I have to find out, I have to get some sort of external affirmation about this Whoopi Goldberg being inexplicably popular. And when did she get rid of her eyebrows? That's going to be my first question to him. My opening question to Steve Kastenbaum will be about Whoopi Goldberg's eyebrows and when did he get rid of them. Lisa Goddard will join us today. We'll talk about the White House invoking executive privilege again, which is like, I don't even think that they have to. They can just do that in their sleep at this point. You know what the White House is like with this invoking of executive privilege? And this is a line I'm going to recycle later with Lisa. So when you hear it later on, you know, hear like half an hour from now, you don't have to laugh again. You can just laugh now. When the White House does this business of invoking executive privilege over and over again, it's like when you would play Mortal Kombat with some guy who mastered one three-button combination move, and then he had no other demonstrable skills as such at the game, but he would just learn like a back forward forward A crouch, you know, duck combination that would make like a huge fireball erupt out of him or something, and then that was all he would ever do, and that's how he would win the game. That's what the White House is. The executive privilege being invoked. Executive privilege is the Konami code of the White House. Anyway, and Rachel McGrath will join us about actor Lane Garrison, who killed somebody and who we think is only getting 90 days for this. He apparently is the Prison Break star. Lane Garrison will be sentenced this morning in Los Angeles. We have conflicting reports about this, but we did hear this morning that he got sentenced to only 90 days. I guess the upside of that is it's three times as long as Vince Neil went to jail, but still, it's only 90 days.
So now the news story is he won't be sentenced till like October, but he'll stay in jail till then.
Well, how is that even? I thought once somebody was found guilty, like they had to sentence them right away.
This is L.A.
With the wheels of justice grind finer than those of the Lord. All right. What else? We will do the top five. We're going to finish this out today, and then we'll do something else tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have a completely different themed top five. But even as we speak now, the top five is being assembled by a team of minions down in the basement. Top five slow dance songs of the 60s. That'll round out that theme for this week. Top five slow dance songs of the 60s being assembled as we speak. We didn't get to this yesterday, so we'll do it today. The hunt for the second worst story in the history of the world. We will do that and your phone calls, of course, about the myriad subjects and whatnot. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let me just take this opportunity before we do anything else, since we're on the subject of bridge collapse. Let me just take this opportunity to tell you that for the longest time, and it doesn't happen anymore, I had this recurring dream for many, 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 many years. And I say this knowing that my dreams aren't really that interesting to anybody. I only note it because it's really, apart from radio dreams, which I think everybody in this room has, apart from radio dreams, it's the only recurring dream I've ever really had. And it was a bridge dream. And it was always the same dream. It was that the Columbia Bridge, which spans the Blue Bridge, which spans the Columbia River, my hometown of Kennewick. The dream was always the same. It was that the bridge was out. And you know when you were a kid and you'd have one of those rope ladders in gym class? It was like a bunch of webbing. It was like a spider web made out of rope that you climbed in gym class. The dream was always the same. It's that the Blue Bridge over the Columbia River was out, and in its place they had just constructed this gigantic rope ladder that I had to climb like hand over hand to get from one bank to the other. And I would wait, and it was just the most terrifying dream that I'd ever had. And I had it like once a week for about 5 years. And then just one day, like that, it was gone. And so now all my bridge fears have been rekindled by this video we saw this morning, which is really unbelievably, traumatically awful. All right, we're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon. Why, hello.
I don't want to see any more of that video.
Did you watch it? Oh, yeah, you saw the...
I just saw the falling, but I haven't seen any of the aftermath or anything.
I only saw the aftermath last night until just now when Tim was nice enough to point his screen toward me and say, look at this, and then hit the play button. And was that taken by a traffic camera or by a car, Tim? Do we know where that...
It looks like it was taken from a car.
Jesus. Imagine being that guy, you know, some bird watcher or something. Look, it's a golden-hued... Husky swallow, whatever. Look at that. Oh, hey, the bridge is collapsing. And I mean, then that's not a small bridge.
No, it's a big.
That's a big ass bridge.
So that's like a Fremont Bridge or like a Markham Bridge kind of?
That's good. We should be relatable here. I wonder what Portland Bridge is comparable in size.
I was talking to someone yesterday and they were comparing it to the Markham. Because there's a bridge underneath that bridge.
I don't even really know what the Markham Bridge is. Which bridge is that?
The Markham Bridge is the one that goes off of I-5 and goes around and then connects back onto I-5. It is I-5, basically. It's right here. We're right next to it.
Really? Okay, yeah, I don't really know. Okay, so whenever you say Markham Bridge, it short-circuits my brain, because when you say Markham Bridge, I think of the town of Markham.
Okay, remember where the Entercom building was?
Yes.
Bancroft?
Yes.
And you go down Bancroft, and you can go up over that bridge that heads down toward I-84?
Yes, yes, I do.
That's
know that.
The Markham Bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just
so
that.
So it's that big?
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of creepy. All right. That's wonderful. So we'll be talking about that all day. Have fun with your rush hour. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
A body has just been found along Highway 217 in Tigard. Portland City Hall restrooms are now open all night. A total of 3 alligators have been captured in Clark County now. Amtrak tries to drum up business by offering free booze. And Canada makes fun of Russia for claiming the Arctic. Oh, and B-list actor Lane Garrison could get away with just doing 90 days in jail for killing somebody while driving drunk. Oh, and it's the 50th anniversary of American Bandstand, almost.
Tune on, I'm in. Turn on, I'm... No, I can never get that right. What is that? How does that line to American Bandstand go? Tune in, I'm on. Turn on, I'm in. Is that what it is? Today, do-do-do-do-do-do-da. And that wasn't originally...
If you want to put me up, I think I have...
Do we have the American Bandstand thing?
I believe so, yeah. This is pre-battle. This is the original. This one. Expect Donna Shore to throw a kiss from her Chevrolet.
Now, is that... Now, I always thought that Barry Manilow wrote that song, but I guess that can't have been
the case. He wrote the vocals.
He wrote the lyrics. So yeah. Did he write the lyrics to a previously existing melody?
Yes, that is the original melody. From
you know,
the
every time I've seen Barry Manilow, that's the song that just brings the house down. Because, you know, as many... And just to think that at one point, Barry Manilow was hip enough that he could actually sing the theme song to a weekly teen-oriented television program. You know what I mean? There really is no American Bandstand left anymore. I mean, it's just, I was thinking about this earlier when, because you collared me in the hall with me. You're like, today is the 50th anniversary of American Bandstand. And my first thought was that it had to have been longer than that, because, you know, you assume that Dick Clark is like 1,000 years old. But I guess it was only 50 years ago. So American Bandstand, though, was the first of its kind, right?
No, there were several others. It was the first that went national.
So there was American Bandstand.
I mean, there were local television programs like American Bandstand everywhere. Every local station had their own bandstand where the local kids came out dancing. They probably had one here.
Is that true?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, was American Bandstand, so the local bandstand...
Dick Clark hit it national, so... Obviously, he wants it to look like he was the only one doing this, but no, every TV station that was on the air back then had their own local.
So it was sort of like how every television station had their own morning, like, clown who, like, had a bunch of children and threw pies at them or whatever it is that happened.
Yeah. Right.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
All right. And then there were all of those weird, and this is way before my time, but it's only a thing that it's a thing that I know because I just sort of read about it, that there were those kids who became celebrities. I mean, we like to think that people becoming celebrities for no readily apparent reason is a recent phenomenon, but there were all those kids who became famous simply and solely because they were dancers
and
on American Bandstand.
They had black hair.
They were toughs. All right. Hi, sir. You have observations about the Mississippi River.
Yeah, quick geography update for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mississippi is down south. Minnesota is a Great Lakes state and actually borders on Canada. And the Mississippi River goes almost all the way to Canada, all the way down south to the Caribbean.
So is the Mississippi River, is that the longest river in America?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know that the because the Mississippi River is the divided line by which they, that's how they decide if a radio station has a W or a K as its first letter. East of the Mississippi is W blah blah blah. West of the Mississippi is KCMV, for example. So it must transverse. Is that the right word? Well, whatever. It goes across the entire country.
It separates the country from north to south.
See, I never even, this is a thing I had nothing about. All I know about the Mississippi River is, all I know is like Hawk and Jim on a raft and a thing. That's it. That's, I got
the muddy water and all that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye now. All right. 503-733-2970. There's probably no time to get to anything else here. I was going to talk to Scotty and find out how the Peter Kerr thing is coming, but we're probably going to have to wait. I will simply read this one story that no one on earth cares about.
Good idea, then.
No, this is the very definition of a news story that no one is concerned with. And the only reason I mention it is because someone had to take the time to write this, send it down, and then all of the news stations received this, and I found this printed out. Socialite Ivana Trump to marry for fourth time. Who on earth? Who was the target demographic for this story? Tim?
I don't know, but I was kind of interested by it.
Did you print this?
I did. I mean, that's
wonderful.
I mean, it's American gold digging. What could be more American than that?
There ought to be a show called American Gold, just a reality show called Gold Diggers.
That was my interest.
American Gold Digger was better. You're right.
Was there American? Has that existed?
No.
Did I just make that up?
I think so.
Let's hear it for me.
I was looking for that story.
American Gold Digger.
Tim's looking for pull the news story. You steal it from his pile to make fun of.
Well, I'm not making fun of the story as such. I'm just saying, she is not even a D-lister at this point, right?
She had her own TV show for a while.
Ivana Trump did?
Yeah, it was called Ivana Man.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I thought it was
a dating show.
I thought that was a movie about a cross-dressing black man who played basketball.
It might have been, but not this time.
What was that movie?
Sarah? Fu?
No, that was John Leguizamo.
Isn't Patrick Swayze in that as well?
Chu Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
Do you think anybody else
Nerd.
Knows that movie?
Of course, everyone knows that movie. It's a classic. It's probably playing in a midnight house near here. No. I'm thinking, what was that movie? Was it Chris Turner?
A movie with what?
He was a black man who dressed as a woman to play basketball. It was like
Do you remember Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield?
It was like a black athletic Tootsie.
All I know is Rodney Dangerfield's Ladybugs, starring the late Jonathan Brandis.
I don't know, but the phrase black athletic Tootsie is pretty great. It was Juana Man. That's what it was called. Juana Man, not Ivana Man. I'm sorry, Tim. This story turned out to be gold after all.
See,
what was I
told you.
When did she get divorced from Donald Trump? Jesus, didn't they split up like 30 years ago?
Not that long ago.
All right.
They had a couple of kids.
All right, there you go. Oh, final.
So the story interested you.
It did. I'm sorry, Tim. I take it back. It's an incredibly interesting story.
I was looking to see what happened to it. I knew I printed it out.
Well,
Rick stole it.
No. Here's the thing: is after the show, and then we have to break because we got Steve Katzenbaum coming up, Lisa Goddard, new news hour, Amanda Moyer, all kinds of stuff. At the end of the show, though, you will go back to your newsroom and you will continue prepping for your 4, 5, and 6 o'clock news and 7 o'clock, which you deliver here stylishly and with very, you know, just. Just, you know, with flawless perfection, as you always do. But
that's because I'm ad-libbing the whole thing.
But, of course, when Sarah and I leave the studio, every single thing, every scrap of paper that's been left behind, I just take my arm and I sweep it all to one massive pile and I drag it upstairs to my office. So anything left behind gets jammed into my pile of stuff, and then I just haul it upstairs to my office like a bear putting away preserves for the winter. So just so you know, just so you're aware of that. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Final call before the break. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up?
There was a show in Portland on for a short time in the very early 70s. It was called Northwest Bandstand. And the guy that did it was none other than Rod Anders, who's no longer with us.
Is that not Ramblin' Rod?
It was Ramblin' Rod Anders. It was on Channel 12. It was only on, I don't even know if it was a year. It might have been close to 8 months. It was called Northwest Bandstand.
You are baking my noodles. So would he get up in the morning and be Ramblin' Rod, and then in the afternoon put on his, like, a hipster dance guy outfit?
Well, I don't know how they, I think he did Ramblin' Rod every day. This was a weekend show, so I don't know how they taped it, but.
That's like that whole episode of WKRP where he was Johnny Fever during the day, and then on weekends he was Riptide.
Yep, hard to believe, but it was on for 8 months to 12 months, didn't make it. Northwest Bandstand, which was, you know, like one of the ones they may have sat on in Seattle, and like American Bandstand. Yep.
You know, the only thing being held. Okay, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. The only thing we had like American Bandstand, we had Club MTV for a while, which then became The Grind with Eric Nice, which I think went away. I don't think MTV does anything with it anymore. I think when the grind went away on MTV, I think that was the last of the teenage dance programs.
But most local stations have a show like that.
We should start having one. We should, Scotty, get on that. Put that together for us.
Oh. Right.
Yes?
There's a reason why they found a body in Highway 217. Highway 217 at 99W is closed because a person fell over the overpass.
Fell or...
fell.
Well...
It says fell.
Came off the overpass somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bad day for lots of people. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We've got a break. We'll come back. Steve Kastenbaum, Lisa Goddard, Amanda Moyer, Rachel McGrath, Tim Riley, Sarah Dillon, Scotty J, the top five, and all that. You stay there. It's the Rick and... It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on, CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Amanda Moyer will be joining us as well. Rachel McGrath, the top five. And more stories of comedy. Well, we're supposed to be talking to Steve Kastenbaum at this point. Doesn't really look like that's happening as such. Maybe if I stare at the phone... No, that's not working either. So let's take care of some other business while we're...
Scotty J.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
That really is fantastic. I'm just waiting for a listener to re-edit that to insert little bits of Sporbert into your patois there. Hello, Scotty. How are you today?
Good morning, Curtin.
Did you not prepare a city? And by prepare, I mean look at the list of 500 cities that's on the wall a foot away from you.
That is a city, Rick.
Is there a city called Curtin?
There is.
Are you making that up?
Nope.
Where is Curtin?
Not sure.
Are you making it up?
I didn't have time to research it.
You're flat out lying.
No, it's real.
There's a city called Curtin, Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
What happens if I find out that you're making this up? Do I get to kick you in the junk?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So are you hungover today on a scale of 1 to 5, let's say at around a 4?
I'd say a 2.
You really? A little bit hungover.
But I didn't even drink, so.
It's just residue.
It's residue from days.
It's just
past.
It's a residual.
It's residue?
Sort of intoxication.
I guess so.
What a great term that is, residue. That's fantastic. All right. Well, there's two little bits of business. One, I am on the trail of a polygraph test.
Excellent.
There actually is a listing in the Yellow Pages for polygraph, so I'm waiting to hear back from some folks on that. I don't know when we'll bring it in. We'll wheel it in at some point as soon as I've secured.
But you will not be notified.
No, yeah, before. You won't be. Yeah, you
it
won't
doesn't
be.
Matter. I mentally done exercises so I can beat any poly.
Now, why would you need to beat the polygraph test, Scotty?
In case you ask other questions above and beyond.
Why would we ask other questions?
What other kinds of questions would I ask?
First, you'll do teaser questions, and then you'll go right for the smoking. I just know it.
Why would? But seriously, but if you're, you know, if you haven't smoked and you simply tell the truth, why would it be an issue?
I guess it won't.
There you go. So you don't need to do any mental exercises.
Mental push-ups.
There will be at least one gay pornography question, though. Just
see?
So you're aware.
And I'm prepared for it.
How about your brother
it?
And his roommate in the national chat?
I knew it.
I'm prepared.
All right. So two things. One, now we'll just dispense with this other thing first. You said right here on the screen, it says, you might want to ask me about Peter Criss.
Yes.
All right, Scotty J., what do we know about Peter Criss?
I think it looks like Friday at 2 o'clock next week.
Now, what do you mean you think it looks like Friday next week?
I'm confirming because she wrote back and said we can do Monday, Tuesday, or Friday, 1:30, or 2, and I picked 2 on Friday of next week.
Okay.
Thinking it'd be a great way to, you know, go into the weekend after talking to Peter Criss.
So what are the days she has open?
Monday, Tuesday, or Friday.
Okay, hold on. So next week she has Monday, Tuesday, or Friday.
Right.
And on each of those days she has 1:30, or 2?
Correct.
It seems like Friday at 2 is a bad time to do that because we already... I'm just saying because we got... Because that's when Aaron's coming in.
I thought about that, but I also thought about how great would it be to go into the weekend after talking to Peter Chris. So it's up to you.
Well, I suppose that there is some logic to that. All right. Now, have you confirmed with her yet?
I just got the email out.
But, I mean, have you secured a time and a date?
I wrote an email saying we want the 2 o'clock hour on
All
Friday.
Right. Okay. And did you hear back from her?
No, because it just went out literally... You know,
okay.
Five,
a thing you might want to do in the future, and this is just a small note, you might want to do that, but then also give her a backup time. Say, hey, we prefer Friday at 2, you know, Tuesday at 1:30 might
However,
also
we
work.
Can accommodate to Mr. Chris's
yes.
schedule.
Mr. Chris's busy
in other words,
schedule.
Why don't you just tell us when he's available.
Exactly.
That's enough. But you say
no,
it from
no,
a position
busy.
Of...
We're busy.
No, you say it from a position of strength, though. That you know you're a salesperson, you know that. That you, it's called the dual fork time close, where you say, hey, so what works better for you to come and look at this car, Wednesday at 2 or Thursday at 9? Which of those is better for you? And then, because then psychologically, they'll just pick one of them.
Yeah, that's assuming the appointment right there. However, in this instance, we're a busy radio show. He's lucky to get
Are you trying
talk.
To compensate for yesterday?
No.
When you reveal that, that your will has been broken because, well, I don't know, we only have 4 people who listen, and will you please give us a guess? So, is this the newfound steel-spined Scotty J?
This is another sales tactic where you...
Could you give us... Okay, let me just ask you this right now. And I know that we're completely getting off the point here, but we got to talk to Lisa Goddard, and Steve Kastenbaum is apparently not deigning to speak to us today, so I got a few minutes to do this, and then we got these calls to get to.
I don't believe it's Steve.
The thing is,
someone at CNN.
Laura said she confirmed all the times to me, and then it never happens, and then I call her back, oh, my bad, I'm sorry, yeah, you're bad. Okay. Real
yeah, that's not even. Yeah, that's going to set us up.
Busy looking at my ovulation chart. I'm sorry. Was that out loud? So I got a few minutes here before we have to do these calls and before we can before we have to talk to Lisa and so forth. Scotty, at some point, and please tell me you'll do this. Will you please favor us someday with maybe a 5 to 7 minute mini seminar from Scotty J talking about sales techniques and surefire ways to close an account?
I could probably do something like that. It's just...
How great would that be? It's like that time I had Clyde come on the show and do his whole Mormon missionary rap for us, where I pretended that I was just somebody answering the door, and Clyde was a Mormon missionary, and Clyde came on the show and he did the whole, hello, did you know that Jesus visited North America and did stuff and left a second testament, you know, and so forth, and he did the whole Mormon missionary rap live in the studio for us, and it was several years ago. Would you be willing to put together a Scotty J sales seminar that you can then perform for us live on the air?
Sure. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I have to work on it a little, but...
All right. So we believe we're going to have Peter Chris, legendary drummer from Kiss, next Friday at 2 o'clock.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
What do I get to do to you if that falls through?
No, let's reverse that, and what do you get to give me if it does go through?
Maybe another week on the job.
Sweet.
All right.
Rick.
Before we do any... I'm sorry, that's become my answer to everything, hasn't it? When we get further employment, get back in your room!
So, yeah, okay.
Before we do these calls and before we talk to Lisa Goddard, let me ask you this, Scotty. Did you or did you not remove a large segment of yesterday's program from the podcast?
If I did, it was by mistake.
Did you? Let me ask you this. Did you or... Did you not remove a large section of yesterday's programming dealing with your smoking?
I don't see why I would do something like that.
That is not an answer. That is not a denial. We've heard from at least a couple people today that the section of yesterday's program dealing with the Instapoll and the audience and whether or not people believed that you were telling the truth about smoking, somehow when the podcast was posted, that section is mysteriously gone. Is that true?
It's freaky weird. I mean, I can't explain it.
Can't explain what?
Wait, so there is a section missing?
If it is.
Is it?
I'm not sure.
Are you really not sure?
Yes.
Did you or... I'm going to ask you this one more time.
I wasn't in my right frame of mind yesterday.
So, did you or did you not remove a section of yesterday's program dealing with your smoking?
It's... Okay.
Uh-huh.
No, here's the deal. I wouldn't deliberately do something like that.
Uh-huh. Should we just call Kristen Bowie right now and ask her?
But I will tell you this.
Uh-huh.
I think it was in the third hour.
Yeah.
I had the first half hour, and then I was going to put the other half hour together with
Hold
it
on.
To make the hour.
Hold on.
And I lost something in there, uh-huh. And then I went back thinking I had the whole thing.
Hold on.
I'm
getting Kristen's number. Hold
yeah.
On. How do I... Can I dial out on the... Well, I can dial out on the hotline. That's we're waiting on Lisa, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm not able to die on. Oh, that's unfortunate. All right.
I believe the top five's in there, so.
Not really. So,
it's like a Winchester mystery thing.
But this is the section where the audience was speculating that you, in fact, were lying to us and have been smoking this entire time. And everything from yesterday's program ended up in the podcast except for that. Is that true?
So, I don't even recall talking about smoking yesterday. Sorry. I don't know. I can research.
There's no don't be an ass. One took out that section or one did not.
To the best of my knowledge, the whole day is there.
To the best of your knowledge.
Right.
So you are the only one who edits the podcast.
Yes.
You're the only one who handles it. You're the only one who has, who remove, you know, because we take out the commercial sets and so forth.
Right.
You're the only one who does that. So is it safe to say that if yesterday's section about your smoking has been removed, that you did it?
It's safe to say that.
Uh-huh.
But whether I deliberately did it, that would we need a polygraph.
This is gonna be like that 18-minute gap on the White House tape, you know, that like what's her name, the Rose Woods put on there. All right, thank you. All right. Would you when you talk to are you able to call CNN right now while we're waiting for Lisa and figure out the deal with Steve Kastner?
Okay.
All right. Let's get these calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Hey, just to give you, because I know you're so bad with geography, and that was probably a little confusing. I-35W between Minneapolis and St. Paul. It's the main thoroughfare between the two, and so that's the reason why it's so heavily traveled, and that's the reason why there were so many vehicles on.
Now, what time of day was it?
It was at just right after 6 o'clock their time.
Oh, so it was still like in the middle of rush hour.
Right in the middle of rush hour. In fact, the Minneapolis Metrodome, which is where the Twins baseball team plays, they had already had a whole bunch of people already there. And they felt that there was talk about canceling the game, but then they realized, well, if we cancel the game, it's going to be a real cluster mess to try and get these people out.
Everybody's been trying to go home, yeah.
Yes, so they decided to go ahead and have the game, and they went ahead and gave people directions on how to get out of there once the game was over.
Anyway,
referenced about, you know, the, you know, stations that are, you know, east or west, most of the TV stations in Minneapolis begin with the letter K, like K-A-R-E and K-S-T-P, but the CBS affiliate is licensed to St. Paul, so it is WCCO.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
There you go.
All right, there you go. I think I was on WCCO at one point. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, I think Scotty should get a job with the Bush administration.
Seriously.
Alberto Gonzalez Jr. there.
Let me just say this, by the way, that in a weird way, the irony of Scotty's whole weird plate spinning and soft-shoe tap dancing that he was doing there about whether or not he deleted, and we have to go back and listen to it to find out, is that in a way it almost makes me believe that he's not smoking, because his smoking denials have been very firm, very unequivocal. We say, Scotty, have you been smoking? He said, nope, I have not smoked. It's been 3.5 weeks. I've been wearing the patch. I have not had a cigarette. And then as soon as we press on him, we just lean on him and he just squeals like a pig in hot oil. As soon as we just start to press him about whether he was editing yesterday's program to take out segments that might be embarrassing for him.
I was waiting for him to go, by edit? What do you mean by edit?
Seriously, I don't know, Rick. Mistakes were made. So, well, we have to talk to our friend Christian Bowie. She's the one who kind of who pulled our coattails to that, as they say. So, all right, thank you.
Bye.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
Hey, Scott J saying that, Curtin, Oregon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right next to Drain, Oregon.
Are you making that up, sir?
I absolutely am not. It's over by, you ever been to Rice Hill, south of Eugene?
No.
Oh, well, best ice cream in the state, so truck stop town. But,
okay.
Yeah, Drain, Curtin, Rice Hill. That's the way it goes going out by south. So.
Curtin and Drain. All right, so he was not fabricating that. So there's one thing that came out of his mouth today that was not a complete and utter falsehood.
Yeah. Soldier truth, what can we say?
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Just calling to re-register my vote from yesterday so it's part of the record.
Was the Instapoll about Scotty also removed, or was it just, I don't even know what section we're talking about.
Because Kristen said she tried to find it, and there was a big chunk of it completely removed, where we were building up to the top five and talking about Scotty not smoking, and then all of a sudden it cuts and we come back from commercial and you're like, oh, well, he deserved it anyway.
Okay, so building up to the top five, I think before we did the top five, didn't we do like a 10-minute polygraph discussion?
I think so.
Wasn't that when we did the discussion? Because here's how it unfolded. So Scotty came in here, and we were asking him about Peter Criss. And Scotty was he had this little mini breakdown on the air. Was like, I don't know, I feel like, because I was giving him crap about making up a job title for himself, about calling himself the program assistant director, and then we discovered that now his latest attempt to try to book guests is he's promising them slots on the other CBS radio stations, which of course he has no authority to do, and I was kind of pressing him about it, and he goes, well, I don't know. It's just that no one listens to us, and they're not going to give us anybody. And it was like having this mental implosion about it. And so that then immediately segued into an Insta poll where the audience revealed that they believe him to be smoking this whole time. That then turned into a discussion of where we could get a lie detector test, like a polygraph machine. And then we broke and we came back into the top five. So my question is, how much of that has he excised from yesterday's program? And I think we'll have to try to... we'll have to find somebody who heard the podcast and yesterday's show to try to nail it down for us. All right.
Are you ready for my vote?
Yes, go ahead.
Liar!
Thank you. All right, there you go. Wonderful. Let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, it's Kristen.
Hey, oh, Kristen Bowie. Hello,
yes.
How are you? Okay.
I'm doing great.
So, now you were the one who kind of tipped Sarah to this earlier today.
Yeah, I was showing my boyfriend that bit because, well, it was hilarious, or trying to anyway, and then I downloaded the podcast, and on the third hour, you tease the top five and more about Scotty smoking, and then on the fourth hour, it's 44 minutes long for one, and you come back and you say, well, he deserved it, and then you talk about the Insta poll, and it's just gone. It's not there.
But the Insta poll actually itself has been removed?
Yeah.
All right, let's...
And James and I this morning went back into the logger and actually heard the part, so...
So it's actually there. So we did record. Okay, so this is backup. So the original recording that Scotty creates the podcast from is still there. But when he was selecting the segments to put online as the podcast, he just overlooked that section.
Yes.
All right. Hello, Scotty.
I know how it seems like that.
Scotty, let me ask you a question. Let me just cut you off at the knees here. Let me just ask you this.
How will I get around to get coffee? Sorry. Go ahead. I wasn't trying
to. Who were you just now?
Sporbert.
Yes. Do you want to be that?
I don't want to be a Sporbert, Rick.
Okay. No one does. Who's on hold?
I think it might be Mrs. Sporbert.
We'll get to that in a second. That'll be awkward. So let me ask you this. Do you remember Sarah and I coming in this morning and asking you point blank, about 20 minutes ago, whether or not you had edited things out of yesterday's show when you put the podcast up, specifically segments that might be embarrassing to you?
I think it's a coincidence.
Do you remember what your answer to us was?
It was...
I absolutely didn't do that. Scotty's answer was, no. All I took out was the stop sets. All I took out was the commercials and the live reads. That's all I removed. Everything else is still there. That's exactly what you said to us. And Sarah was there. She's my witness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't think that he... Did you do it on purpose, Scotty?
No.
Because I'm going to bat for you.
No, that's what I'm trying to say. If there was a polygraph on me...
It's funny how this has never happened before, though. Nobody else has ever noticed this.
To be honest with you...
Yes, really. Do I need a rim shot for this?
Let's go back from all the lies. Let's be honest now. No.
To be honest with me would require, like, someone else actually sitting in that seat.
It would require pain. But anyways, sometimes I'm getting the recording and I have to break it down within half hours, right? And then splice them together. And I've had times where it's actually screwed up. And I've had to go back, re-pull the whole hour, and start over again. And it's highly possible... I was having a problem with hour three yesterday.
Oh, you were having a problem on hour three. I'll be the first one to... It's just
I was having a mental problem.
It's strange that we have never, ever, ever heard a report of anything from the show, because I've seen the logger. I know the software you use to do this. And it's really easy to isolate all the segments of the show. And it's strange that we've never had a complaint about this before, or somebody commenting that part of the show was inexplicably edited out when the podcast got put up. And now the first time anybody's noted it, it also happens to be a segment in which you kind of looked... ass-like. So, that's kind of strange, don't you think?
Well, yes, it is. It is. So, I will, like I said, I'll do some research.
You'll look into it. All right. Have a committee. Form a seventh Pat Tillman committee to look into that.
All right.
All right. Thank you. That's Scotty J. Thank you, Kristen.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. The different Kristen Bowie. The love of sweet God Almighty. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill. Seriously. It's like the, it was like those Tom Foley hearings where they were asking him about groping women in elevators. CNN radio correspondent to the stars, Lisa Goddard. Why, hello.
Hello to you both.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little dismayed. I'm concerned that perhaps my fiancé's name has been used to characterize things bad, dorky, and Scott-like.
Well, that's one way to interpret that, I suppose. That's
How long has this been going on?
Is that, I don't know. When was he on the show? I'm sorry, what?
Has this been going on for months?
No, we only just talked to him 2 days ago. So
I know, but you've known the sport. I'm worried that, like, for months and months, like, a Sporbert has referred to whatever it's referred to.
No, it was really, I believe this is actually the first morning that we did it. But we did. Here's the thing.
And you got busted right away.
I'm sure that Jason is, you know, obviously, he's very, very smart, intelligent. I'm sure he's a sophisticated guy. Clearly, you would. I'm just saying. Clearly, you would not be with someone who was a dullard,
right,
or obtuse in any way.
No.
But I will say this, and I think that we would all, if we were speaking truthfully, speaking just honestly as mature adults, I think we would have to acknowledge that perhaps radio humor not his strong suit.
No,
I'm sure he's good at other things. Maybe he's just
great at other things. Yes.
Being amusing on this program didn't really seem to be one of his strengths. So,
no, but you know, he really didn't. He didn't understand at all the arena. And the one thing, you know, I drove home that night, and the thought in my head as I turned on my radio was, "Thank God that wasn't Don and Mike."
Yes. Anyway, and so you noted, and again, sort of not maliciously, but I think truthfully, that that Jason Sporbert attempting to sort of be funny was not really successful. It was a little awkward. Now, Scotty J does that on an almost daily basis, and we couldn't quite find a way to explain to him how it sounded and why we wanted him to stop trying to be funny.
And so we've helped you out. Now he sees poignantly clear.
And so your fiancé has become a sort of case study. He's an object lesson now for Scotty. He's sort of like when you see those nine faces of meth or whatever it is, those photos they hand to police. It's like, don't do meth. You don't want to look like this.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I'm just saying. So,
jeez.
So some good did come out of that appearance. That's all I'm saying.
Jeez.
Can I ask you this, just because everybody wants to know, and I've given it a day to sort of mellow and ferment.
Yes.
So, I mean, what was the discussion like when you went home and talked to your fiancé after his somewhat unique appearance on this program?
Yes. Well, first of all, you know, we have a roommate. We have a third roommate that lives with us. And so Jason had already told the roommate, and also another friend was over, and you know, they had all been debriefed about the situation. And I walked in, and they just look up at me, and the one roommate just bursts out into laughter as he looks at me. And the other one just shakes his head, and I was like, guys, it was quite a day. And so I think Jason and I actually did not talk about it too much. I said, baby, you know, I should have told you. You just answer the questions. You know, I should have told you. Just be yourself and not trying to impress anybody here. And he was like, yeah, I guess so. He's like, I do feel good. I felt like I did stick up for the Desjardins name. And I'm like, kinda. Yeah, I feel like you did. So it was. He laughed. He's like, yeah, it was pretty dorky, huh? And I was like, yeah, it was full throttle dorkdom.
Are you aware that there is a condiment called Dijonnaise?
I am not aware of that.
You know who's going to be aware of that? Your children. Every day that they go to school, they're going to be aware of that.
Well, you know, it's already come in handy. I was just downstairs in the Capitol, and there were some lost French tourists that were really making Senator Reed's press secretary feel like he was just mad that they were in this room that we were in that they shouldn't have been in. And so I tried to break the ice by saying, you know, of course, loudly, because I feel like if I talk louder, you know, as you do with foreign people, that they'll understand you. So I was like, hi, I'm getting married. Desjardins. You know, like I felt like I was going to have this amazing bond. They had no idea what
no,
it was. They
no.
were like, what?
No.
Yeah.
Anyway,
Jason was able to laugh it off. He was a trooper about it. And I have to think there have been some people that have gone on our website and have said some fantastic things to Jason and have been great.
Really? What do you tell your relatives when they ask about those comments that I see in your wedding blog? You know what I mean?
I mean,
I've gone, I've looked, and if there are people who are like, hey, I listen to you every day on the show, and we're all just jealous because you're really hot. And it's like all of, I mean, what do you tell people who are related to you?
Well, you know, most of my relatives didn't know a lot about the website, but we just sent out an invitation. So, like, my dad has just posted something on there, and now I'm kind of like, oh. But, and we actually sent two different invitations, one to people under 70 and one to people over 70. And I don't know how that's going
to
work out.
Excellent. All right. Well, we have no time to talk about actual news. So it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. You know what? There'll be some other invocation of executive privilege, like, tomorrow.
That's exactly how it went. I think I counted, you know, eight times inside of a minute at one point. Doesn't matter. Ridiculous today.
All right, Lisa, enjoy the rest of your day. As always, it is a pleasure. Best to Jason as
Thanks,
well.
Thanks, guys.
Right,
yes.
Thank you. There you go. There's Lisa Goddard from there. Fantastic. Making friends left and right. It's 503-733-2970. Did you see this email from Aaron about Scotty?
I did.
Let's read this and then we'll take a break. Come back with Tim Riley. This email says, Rick, Sarah, et al., as much as it pains me, it is possible that Scotty J. did indeed remove that portion of the podcast accidentally. I've watched him spend the better part of 25 minutes trying to isolate a section of the show. When I asked what was so hard about the software, his response was, quote, I don't know, I just can't figure it out. Stupid podcast. People should be happy I do this at all. God damn! Now who's calling? Emerson Cho, what? So, which Aaron has said repeatedly, by the way, that Scotty, and back when Scotty was a smoker, apparently there were moments when Scotty would vanish into the back parking lot to smoke during the show and just demand that Aaron screen the calls in his absence. So, at any given point, I think Scotty's about 4 minutes away from some sort of total emotional meltdown. All right, let's see. What is... Okay, well, we'll do this, and then we'll break, and we'll come back with Tim Riley. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. I was going to say, Scotty's a 10-pound sledgehammer. Big, dull, and a giant tool.
Bye now. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, take a break. Coming up, CNN Radio correspondent. Why do I even? Who knows? Maybe.
You know nobody's coming.
Shake my magic eight ball. Coming up, maybe Rachel McGrath. Source is cloudy. Try again. Top five slow dance songs from the 60s and Tim Riley around the corner. You stay right there. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Coming up later on in the program, possibly CNN correspondence, possibly not. Maybe we'll have the top five finish, maybe we won't. Who knows? What we do know, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Ministry of Truth, there is the one and only Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Did a man fall? Commit suicide? Was he pushed? Or was it a possible beating death? These are all scenarios. After one lane of Highway 217 northbound near 99W was closed this morning after a person fell or was pushed over the overpass. Let's see. He fell onto 217 around 9:30 this morning. Medical examiners are on the scene moments after that. The right lane of northbound 217 is closed. It's null traffic for miles approaching northbound 217. The southbound lanes are moving fine. The man landed on the east side of 217. He didn't hit any cars. He landed right off the road into the dirt.
It's a bad week for anything involving bridges.
So it's possibly a beating death.
All right. You know, can I just tell you this? This is not like the bridge collapsing paranoia. This is a whole different stripe of phobia that I have.
Yeah.
I get really, and I don't think I'm alone in this. I think if you were to canvas the average American mind, I think you would find the same fear lurking in there. Whenever I am standing at sort of a railing that's at the edge of something steep, in other words, I don't know, like if you're standing on the edge of a bridge looking over, or you're standing...
How about the falling pedestrian bridge?
Is it falling or is it failing?
You think it's falling, but it's actually failing.
We've had this discussion.
It looks like falling,
but that's just as bad to stand on a failing pedestrian bridge.
The failing pedestrian bridge is right next to the school for the special kids.
It's safe across here.
The failing pedestrian bridge just makes me think that the bridge itself... See, falling pedestrian... Well, never mind. I'm just saying the failing pedestrian bridge sign is equally confusing, though, because then you think it's that the bridge is closed somehow. I mean, it's somehow structurally unsound, and they've got it closed off at either end. And we've had this discussion. I know we've had this discussion before, yeah, because it always ends up talking about how that intersects with Hate Street, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there is the corner of hate and failing, which really does scream out to be the title of some indie band out there needs to leap on that right now and call their album The Intersection of Hate and Failing, the corner of hate and failing. Blah, 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 blah. But whenever I am standing at the sort of a railing on something high, like if you are walking across a bridge or you are standing maybe at the edge of a cliff, like on some sort of scenic nature view or whatever, and you're out, you're looking over the canyon beneath you and you're standing there, and the bridge is never, the railing that keeps you from falling over is never 6 feet high. It always just comes up to your navel. And do you do this? Do you stand by one of those railings and share the fear that you are immediately going to be like bum rushed from behind by a bunch of ne'er-do-wells who just seize you and throw you over the railing?
No, I go nowhere near those railings.
Really? Just stand far away?
Uh-huh.
The other day, I was driving by OMSI, bicycling past OMSI, and I was just feeling kind of tired and just wanted to get a rest. It was hot and whatever, and I wanted to rest for a second. So it's right as you go underneath that big red OMSI neon sign, and you're underneath what I guess is the, it's not the Ross Island Bridge, I guess it's, you're underneath the Morrison Bridge, maybe the Hawthorne Bridge, whatever that bridge is, though. And there's that railing there where you can overlook the Willamette River. And so I'm standing there, and I got my bike parked, and I'm sort of leaning against the railing, looking out over the lapping waves, contemplating life and the universe and my place in the cosmos. And I was only able to do it for about 12 seconds because I kept, instinctively jerking my head over my shoulder to make sure that a rampaging gang of toughs wasn't going to hurl me into the water below. So I don't think I'm the only one that has that fear. And we're done.
Well, why not stop by and find relief at City Hall? The ground floor restrooms are now open every night from 11 to 6 a.m. Stop by and meet your neighbors.
You know that that's
around the clock toilets.
That's going to be, the clock is ticking. It's not even going to be 12 hours, so they're going to find hookers and some guy tying off in every one of those stalls. Because they're not, are they hiring security guards?
Yes, they are.
Really? So there's going to be a guy in there. Is he going to be armed, or is he going to be one of those guys that tries to stop crime with harsh language?
The guy in the wheelchair I always see on the max is this unarmed security guard. Will be there.
If he's in a wheelchair, don't you mean he's an unlegged security guard?
Absolutely. Yes, you can meet the homeless, late-night revelers, and people in the bondage or whatever they do in the all-night toilets at City Hall. Why not stop in and get acquainted?
The all-night toilets. It's like an automat for feces. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Why is my button not working? Why are you on it? Katie Couric! Hi, you're on. We don't have a blame Katie Couric button. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, so I was listening on the way home to lunch that Scotty J had, I caught a little bit of it, had destroyed some or tampered with some tapes or something.
It's entirely possible.
Well, anyway, so I'm an attorney. I also work as a judge several times, several days a month. And I wanted to point out, I don't know if you guys were aware of this, but he actually committed a crime by doing that.
Hold on, before you say anything further, let's take a little bit of a poll. Do we believe this guy's a judge, Sarah?
That really hurts.
I'm sure. I don't. I haven't seen a lot of judges.
Tim?
He doesn't sound that authoritative to me.
I was just going to say, you know,
you're supposed to be, engaging in throwing out some sage wisdom.
You don't really have the, gravitas to you. All right. And so, anyway, go ahead, sir.
I'm still recovering from that. Anyway, so he.
You can hang out with that guy that keeps calling and claiming to be a lawyer. Y'all can get a club together.
Hey, maybe you're a 12-step group. So anyway, yeah, he committed criminal mischief in the second degree by intentionally damaging property, not having any right to do it, and having no grounds reasonably for believing he had such a right. So
now that does sound like a judge. That does sound like legal lingo that you're spinning there.
Yeah, a little bit. So anyway, and then if you could somehow even colorably claim that the damage was more than $1,000.
Oh, I can claim anything I want.
Then it's a felony.
My words are irreplaceable, sir. They're priceless.
That's
there can be no price tag. There can be no value assessed on my wisdom.
I'm aware. That's why I listen, Rick.
Thank you. But
if you could do that, then it bumps up to a C felony.
Excellent. So I could have him beaten and put in jail.
For up to 5 years and fined up to $125,000.
Wonderful. Fantastic. You've made everybody's day just a little bit brighter. You're our own little personal legal rainbow, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Hey, by the way, Scotty's saying F that guy. Does that count as a threat?
I think that would be menacing. I feel substantial fear of physical injury there. So I think I was just menaced, and I'm going to be calling the authorities immediately.
Okay, I'm convinced.
He's a menace to the public.
Seriously, I am absolutely now convinced that you do work in the legal system. All right, thank you, my friend.
Thanks.
All right, there you go. Excellent.
Scotty J. Menace to society.
You are a very bad person. Here's Tim Riley.
That alligator captured near Bonneville Power Administration's lines was thought to be a rarity. Not so. Oh, by the way, that alligator was named Bonnie. Animal control officers have captured three gators in Clark County in the past 2 weeks. They appear to be pets abandoned by former owners, and a new state law is to be blamed. As of July 22nd, Washington state residents can no longer own pets considered potentially dangerous. That includes gators, cougars, wolves, certain snakes, and they're all on the list of banned animals.
It seems like that would include almost any pet, though. If, I mean, you're talking about a pet that is potentially dangerous.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to own alligators in Oregon? You know, we could ask the reptile guy about this.
Oh.
I think he actually told us you could. I think you can own alligators and crocodiles, but not Gila monsters.
Why don't we see
reason.
More alligator stores and have people come across the border to buy them, though? Like lottery tickets.
No, it's true.
Lottery tickets and alligators.
I think it was, what's his name, Todd the Corpse, who had gone to the reptile house run by, what's his name, Criswell, and had said that he was having a whole discussion while that he was like watching a crocodile that had its jaws taped shut or something, but was sort of walking around the floor of the store, just minding its own business. All right, this is the best email of the day so far. Rick, when someone is in that position, meaning leaning against the rail overlooking something steep, I like to run up to them and pull them backward unexpectedly while yelling, "Don't fall!" It's perfectly safe, but scares the holy crap out of them. Yes, I would imagine it does, sir. That's fantastic. Best audience ever. All right. Here's Tim Riley. Wait, hold on. Is this Tim Criswell at the House of Reptiles?
Oh, my.
Does he just have, like, one of those big red Commissioner Gordon phones that just sits on his desk or something?
Criswell says.
It's just, sir. Okay, hold on. Sir, you might want to drop my level here just a little bit. Let's, Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the House of Reptiles, Criswell.
Awesome music.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good.
How are things at the House of Reptiles?
Busy.
Okay. is it, just for some average Joe, is it legal to own a crocodile or an alligator here in the great state of Oregon?
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. Unless you live in the city of Beaverton, the city of Portland, or Multnomah County, everywhere else in the state, it is legal.
So if you live in an outlying area, though, in most outlying areas, you can own one of these fine creatures.
That's correct.
That is wonderful.
Yeah.
How much could I expect to pay for a brand new alligator?
Well, usually most of the stores that sell them for around $150.
And what do you feed an alligator? I mean, how big does your average alligator get?
Well, I mean, you know, nature intends them to be 12 to 14 feet long. So if it lived long enough and had ample space, it would grow to be that big.
And so now do most people buy an alligator and then they have it for like a year and then they figure out that that's going to end with one of their kids' shoes having no owner, and so then they just go and they give it to the zoo or something?
Well, the zoo won't take them. So what happens is it goes then to somebody else's house who thinks it's really cool for 2 months. Then it goes to somebody else's house who thinks it's really cool for 6 months, and then somebody else, and then somebody dumps it in a pond.
All right, so it becomes sort of a community alligator.
Yeah.
All right, excellent. All right, except for the pond dumping part, because they'll kill you. I mean, they'll kill you dead, right? Because you can't domesticate a crocodile.
Yeah, if they live long enough, they'll make you in a bad way.
All right, excellent. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
That's Criswell at the House of Reptiles. Here's Tim Riley.
Speaking of pet sitting, a pet sitter in Tacoma stole guns, money, jewelry, and identities from her clients of her pet sitting business in Tacoma and 13 other cities.
The pet sitting in Tacoma is just code for babysitter, by the way.
Becky D. Doyle pled guilty to 5 counts of first-degree theft, 35 crimes in all. She was hired to take care of animals, doing business as positively pet sitting. She took everything from rolls of coins to sentimental keepsakes, including family heirlooms such as anniversary rings and anniversary crystals.
This email says, Rick, I believe Scotty to be autistic. I'm a teacher. I deal with autistic children, and I believe Scotty fits these criteria. He has trouble with simple questions or commands. He reverses meanings of words. Based upon his choice of slow top 5 songs, I believe this to be a symptom he displays in spades. Plus, he seems to be entertained in his own little Scotty world. I just hope he doesn't wake up tomorrow with you, Tim, Sarah, and the rest of us living in his snow globe. Sid. P.S. You being busted by Lisa Goddard was great. A perfect mix of humor and flashback pathos. All right. There you go. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So getting back to this possible murder scene in Highway 217, the police say it looks as if the man was beaten to death and possibly thrown off this bridge, Highway 217 at 99W. So that's that for now. Say, who knew that Dell had a call center in Roseburg? Well, they're closing it down. More than 200 employees learned the unpleasant news about 10 o'clock this morning that they are all losing their jobs.
Dude, you're getting a pink slip.
Yes, and your job is going to probably India. It's a difficult position, and we understand it's significant for people parting. The company announced plans to reduce employment worldwide by 10%. The Roseburg office is the only center of its kind in the U.S. to close.
You know, the really embarrassing part is I didn't even read that joke anywhere. It just came out of my head naturally, that stupid Dell joke I just made. I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody.
Well, don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Well, Canada objects to Russia claiming the Arctic. Canada's top diplomat is ridiculing Russia's flag planting at the North Pole.
I read about this. No, this is like the whole Eddie Izzard thing about stealing countries through the cunning use of flags.
Yeah.
Did Russia just have some sea bot or something?
Yeah.
That they stuck on the ocean floor and it just crawled
for the motherland.
Crawled along and just put a flag. What is it? The North Pole or the South Pole?
North Pole.
The North Pole. Just on the ocean floor of the North Pole. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they just own it now. It just belongs to them.
Well, they claim it's a 15th century stunt. The Canadians say, look, this isn't the 15th century. You can't go around the world and plant flags and saying we're claiming this territory.
No, of course not.
According to reports, a Russian mini-submarine reached the bottom of the Arctic Ocean under the North Pole to carry out scientific tests and plant a Russian flag that I was believed to be the first of its kind. And Russia claims a vast swatch of the Arctic seabed to be rich in oil and gasoline. That's why they want it. Our claims to our Arctic are well established.
Is that the Russians saying that? Mm-hmm. That's so great because they're doing that whole, they're using the salesperson lingo again of just speaking as though it's already happened. That's that possession is 9/10 of the law business. Our Arctic.
So Canada says, Canada's sovereignty over the lands and waters of the Canadian Arctic are long-standing, well-established, and based on historical title. Russia, Canada, the U.S., Denmark, and Norway are at odds over parts of the Arctic. The disputes have grown in importance as scientists believe that warming could open up the famed Northwest Passage to year-round cargo shipping by 2050, as well, here's the most important part that Al Gore didn't even mention, as well as lay bare an estimated 9 billion tons of oil and gas deposit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
By the way, somebody's noted that intersection of Highway, the intersection of 217 and Highway 99 is right by the House of Reptiles. Maybe Criswell can walk his alligators down there and give a live report. That's a fantastic idea. Scotty, don't call him. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, speaking of oil, a mistake by a heating company left a big mess in the basement of an upstate New York home. A delivery driver for Abbott Mills Oil delivered more than 400 gallons of oil to the home of Nyoka Young, a young single mother living in a quaint small brick house. There's one problem. The driver had the wrong address, and there's no oil tank in the basement. The delivery man pumped all the oil into an old pipe attached to the house, sending 397 gallons into Miss Young's basement. She returned home to find her basement smothered in oil.
That's wonderful. That doesn't at all sound like a fire hazard.
The house has been condemned.
Sorry. That's genius. All right.
What else can you say?
I don't know. Hey, is anybody watching the two Corys?
Not even one.
All right. Never mind then. I got a whole thing.
I think people are, though.
Got a whole thing.
People in general are. We're not the only people.
I know. I like
there's a world outside of this room, Emerson.
I know. There's the world. Well, Dave Zinn
watches.
The one
that Scotty J sits in down there, he's got his own little world.
Scotty?
That's his own North Arctic.
Are you currently
that he has claimed.
Are you currently watching the two Corys, Scotty? I know Dave Zinn is watching the Scott Baio. Oh, and I guess there's some other pandering program that's on VH1 right now called I Hate My 30s, which I'm really... Really? Okay. No, so Scotty's not watching it either. So no one we know is watching the two Corys. Joni, I think, is watching it, but I think that's about it. All right. Well, VH1 sent us some crap about the two Corys, but if nobody here is watching it, there's no point. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there are other people who have just been hearing about it.
It's too late. I've already crumpled it up.
Okay. Well, let's do something different, shall we? Let's talk about that bridge story, since that's on everybody.
Boy, you know, it really is true. That is the story that everybody's talking about. I was walking through the building during the last break. I went upstairs, back downstairs, into the kitchen, to the bathroom, and back here. And I passed no fewer than four desks where people were huddled around computers looking at the picture of that bridge collapsing into the river. Oh, you sent me the link for that, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll post that here while we're talking. Go ahead.
So, of course, things usually get a little bit worse when politicians get involved. White House spokesman Tony Snow grew impatient with news reporters inquiring about the safety of aging bridges across the U.S. today. My pot's down. Let's try it again.
This is not a time for finger-pointing at all. This is a time for dealing with those in grief and also working to assist the state in getting that artery put together as quickly as possible.
That's wonderful. KGW, by the way, is reporting that 25% of all bridges in Oregon are... This is so great. Think about this. You know, and the best part is...
Let's all go jump up and down on one right now.
Probably 14 or 15% of the people hearing my voice right now are driving towards, over, or away from a bridge. Well, you laugh. Listen to this. KGW just released this piece outlining that 25%, that is one in four, of all bridges in Oregon are either deficient or functionally obsolete. That's wonderful. In Portland, there are 12 major bridges. I think we probably have a great... So 12 major bridges. So that means that... So three of them are either functionally obsolete or deficient. That's wonderful. There you go. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to the bridge story. Amid the stories of tragedy coming out of the collapse of the bridge came stories of heroism and survival. Melissa Hughes is one such survival story. She was traveling on the bridge when it collapsed and describes what happened, Melissa.
And my first thing that I noticed was just this kind of odd feeling and seeing cars and a person suspended in air and having kind of a free fall feeling like at an amusement park ride.
And so did her car, do we know what, I mean, did her car go into the river or?
Let's see. I guess she gets to that. There's more strange sights and sounds.
Seeing that in front of me was a minivan, seeing that kind of slide towards me. And then I heard a huge crash and looked back and that was my back window smashing out.
She said it happened very fast, but it seemed to drag on.
It seemed to last a few minutes, but I know that their thing has happened at about 6:05. And I called my husband at 6:06, and I called my husband after I was out of the car and standing in a parking lot. So it was very fast.
Now, what is the, Jim, I don't have the link apparently did not arrive for some reason. What is the site from where you got that? Do you know where that was?
YouTube.
All right.
YouTube.
Oh, okay. Okay, let me just look for that while we're talking here. And so have they arrived at some sort of, I don't want to say blaming, but have they arrived at some sort of initial conclusion as to why this happened?
No.
Because, I mean, it's like that business of the Tacoma Narrows a few years ago where it was going in waves and it was twisting. But then once, it is sort of a cumulative thing, but then it becomes a chain reaction where once, like, a part of the bridge goes out, then the load on the rest of the bridge, you know, with every section of the bridge that fails, the load on the remaining sections of the bridge is exponentially increased, and then the whole thing just goes down in like 10 seconds. All right, hold on. Mississippi. What was the name of the bridge?
A bridge.
Thanks for that. Thanks for the help.
All right. I'm not sure what it's called. I haven't heard it referred to anything.
I'll just put in Bridge, Mississippi.
Or Minneapolis.
I don't know how to spell Minneapolis. So I'm just going to have
You'll never find the video.
I'm just going to put in Bridge, Mississippi.
You can spell Mississippi, but you can't spell Minneapolis.
I know. It's strange, isn't it? All right, here we go. So I'm looking at this.
It has just as many letters.
I know, but there's that handy. But there's no handy rhyming device to spell Minneapolis.
A rhyming device?
Didn't you ever have either rhyming to the M-I-S-S-I, S-S-I-P-P-I?
No.
Did you ever do that?
No.
When I grew up, Tim, in my people, Tim, that was always drilled into us in school as one of, because Mississippi was like a weird looking word and had all these double letters and everything. So when I was in like kindergarten or first grade, they would always use Mississippi as an example of words that had a lot of double letters in them. And they would have pointed that they rhymed and blah, blah, blah. And so, but Minneapolis, what are you going to talk about? There's no reason to talk about Minneapolis in kindergarten. So there was no mnemonic device to help me remember this. All right, so here we go. This is, let me turn the sound down here. Jesus. It's just, this reminds me of that Florida story from years ago where that bridge collapsed and then there was that school bus just sort of dangling over one broken part of the bridge just waiting to plunge into the water below.
We're going to talk to some children
below.
In a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. All right.
Where were we?
I have no idea. We were talking about this Minneapolis bridge, which is terrifying.
So there are 60 children on a school bus among the survivors of the freeway bridge collapse in Minneapolis. Although some were injured. Student Olivia Reynolds says she felt the bus move.
I ducked down. I didn't really move, but it was really jerky. It was very jerky. It was moving side to side. I was still in my seat sitting down.
They were able to get off the school bus.
They just helped everyone out. They carried them out to the bike trail. I thought I was going to die.
Jesus. I mean, I'm looking at this right here. And, you know, the really creepy thing about this is it starts, this is where my lack of knowledge about physics or just anything remotely resembling like actual real world science knowledge really screws me, because it makes me even more apprehensive about bridges than I would otherwise be, because I have no idea how bridges stay up, first of all. I mean, I'm not disputing that they do, but it's sort of like when I'm on a plane and I realize I don't really know how jet engines operate. Like, clearly they work. I mean, the plane flies. I just don't know how they function. Here's the larger question to me. The question is not so much how does the bridge stay up, because I know that there's guys who are constantly working and they're fixing things. Did you know this? Did you know on the Golden Gate Bridge, there is a team of people who do nothing but paint the Golden Gate Bridge?
Yeah, they never stop.
Yeah, 365 days a year.
Uh-huh.
They start at one end, they move all the way down, and then they just start all the way back again. They paint the bridge every single day, because if you waited and painted the bridge all at once, the bridge is so massive that by the time you are done painting it, half of the crap you've painted has just been sandblasted away again. By the elements and by the salt water and so forth. Here's what I don't understand about bridges. I don't understand, and this makes me sound like a simpleton, but I don't understand how bridges are attached to the bottom of the river. I mean, what holds them there?
Piles.
Piles of what?
Piles of concrete.
But I mean, over time, I mean, look, at the bottom of the river, it's just mud, right? There's just mud sitting on the riverbed is just mud. So if you set a lot of concrete on there, won't the mud eventually wash away from under the concrete, and won't it settle and move?
It's embedded into the mud. It's embedded, then there's concrete and then poles.
So the poles go down into the dirt?
At least I'm pretty sure. I don't build bridges.
I'm just saying that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm not disputing. Clearly, whatever they do, it works, because the bridges, bridges typically don't collapse all that often. It's just one of those things that, because I don't understand it, I guess that if you go down deep enough, maybe there's like a rock layer or something underneath the mud that I guess they drill into. But it's like, considering that all the bridges were put up in, like, I don't know, like 1902 or something, it's like, how do they even do that? How do they even drill through that mud? And what stops the mud from just eventually being carried away by the current? And stop, because all you would need is one of those, think about this, all you would need is the current just to eventually carry away enough of the sort of pieces of mud and dirt to wash the sediment away, and one of those concrete pillars just shifts like about 6 inches.
Or an earthquake would do it.
Or an earthquake. That would also, boy, how often do you think people who go across the Golden Gate Bridge think about that?
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take in a car to drive from one end of the Golden Gate Bridge to the other? Because I've never done that.
Oh, it's a matter of minutes.
So yeah, like 5 minutes.
Yeah. 5 minutes. That's got to be a lot. And I mean, if there's rush hour traffic or traffic of any kind, which there always is, that's got to be a long 5 minutes driving across the Golden Gate Bridge. Just waiting for some sort of low rumbling. Let's get a couple of these. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, I've talked to a few people, and one of them was a city engineer for Portland, and they said that the Fremont Bridge was made out of an experimental metal that they never used again.
So it was made out of Folgers crystals and cheese?
It was pretty much made out of something that, they thought was going to be the new metal, and then after they built it, they're like, you know, that's not really the best metal. And I think they gave it a life of, like, 40 years, and it's coming up on 40 years.
That's fantastic. That's like when you read those stories about how we're due for a traumatic earthquake in this part of the country every 500 years or something, and it's been, like, 720. I mean, didn't I read the other day? I'm pretty sure that the San Andreas is due for another major earthquake.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, thank you. All right, there you go. All right. Well, you should just have a whole segment on this program, a recurring bit just called Things That Are Gonna Kill You. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hi.
As far as how they attach the pilings or the caissons, I think they're called sometimes, just imagine dropping a big, huge box down into the Golden Gate.
Right.
And then they suck that water out that's in there, and now you've got like a dry hole. And then they suck the mud off the bottom until they get to bedrock, and then they fill that whole thing up with boulders and concrete and steel.
Okay, all right, so that makes sense.
A big foot pad down there.
So in the olden days, this is a fascinating subject to me for some reason, to me and perhaps as many as three other people in the audience. Let me ask you this. So then when they drop the big boxes, you say, that's going to be one of the foundations for the bridge, are there actual, like, at least back in the day, are there actual guys who have to go down in there
and
operate that?
And there's something that, like when they were building the bridges in New York, they were so deep that some of these guys, I think, were getting
the bends. I saw a thing about that the other day, actually.
Articles on History Channel.
Yeah.
About bridges.
That's exactly what it was. It was that show. Yeah.
But now on this other bridge, I think what they're going to find is that it was Harmonix that did the bridge in. Because if you think about it, it's a 40-year-old piece of concrete and steel, and it's not like a big chunk's just going to fall off or wear out. But the bolts that hold the sections together.
Yes.
Okay, now on Ice Road Truckers, have you seen that?
I have. I've only seen a couple episodes of it, but yeah.
Did you see where they're explaining that harmonic shockwave that comes out, and that's why there's a speed limit when you're driving over the lake?
No.
And if there's two trucks coming at each other, they really have to slow it down because these two shockwaves are riding on the water and also on the ice in front of the truck. And when you're approaching another truck, they kind of slam into each other. But I'm thinking, that bridge collapse was just, have you ever put two tuning forks next to each other?
Yeah, no, it's an exponential
kind of
vibration. Yeah.
Yeah, and you got that weird oscillating harmonic going on. That's what does bridges. And there was a old wives' tale or a urban legend about soldiers marching across a bridge. If they do it in unison, they can collapse the bridge.
Oh,
and I think that may have been true in the old days.
All right, thank you. There you go. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. All right. I do remember seeing that thing about those guys. Thank you, sir. Those guys who would go down underneath the water in New York to put in the bridge bottoms or whatever those things are. And it was actually so deep, yeah, they would get nitrogen in their blood and so forth. I did find the video. Somebody did send this to me. This video of this bridge collapsing. I mean, this is right up there with that Mount St. Helens footage. Jesus, it doesn't even seem real. I mean, it's like a thing your brain, you can't even... Your brain doesn't even conceive that there's a whole bridge. And, you know, the creepiest thing in this footage, and I'll put this on the website during the break. We have a break here in just a second. I'll put this on the other side. The creepiest thing about this to me, in a weird way, is the first thing you see is not the bridge collapsing, but it's like a jogger running by. So it's like it looks like a static traffic camera pointed at the bridge. And then you see like a jogger running by, and then almost as soon as she's out of frame, the bridge just collapses behind her. And, I mean, I don't know why that's so freaky to me. I guess it's because you think about her and you think about she's jogging along and she hears some noise and she turns around and sees an entire bridge that's like, you know, whatever, 50 feet away, just this massive bridge just collapsing into the river. I mean, imagine if you were just walking down on the Esplanade and you just look over and, like, there's the Hawthorne Bridge or something just falling into the ocean or into the river.
Say Hawthorne.
Imagine. I'll rotate that throughout the day. Try to terrify everybody equally. All right. Well, we should break here. We'll come back more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. More of your phone calls coming up later on. It's quite possible that we'll have CNN radio correspondence, but I wouldn't like pin your hopes on it or anything. And like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Okay, go to rickemerson.com. By the way, that bridge collapse is now posted. Okay, I gotta go watch this. It's freaking me out. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, according to the National Bridge Inventory, the Selwood Bridge has a sufficiency rating of 2 out of a possible score of 100. Bam! In your face. And quite possibly on your head if you're underneath.
It's safe enough for one pedestrian at a time.
Seriously? Well, depending
wait
on where
for the
pedestrian
change.
One southwest pedestrian. Cracks in the bridge have forced TriMet to divert all bus traffic away from the bridge. So think about that the next time you decide to go antiquing, says Matt. That's fantastic. Wonderful. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
So let's talk more about this bridge. One of the drivers on the bridge at the time has lived to tell his frightening experience. Gary Barbado was driving his truck across the bridge when he heard a loud rumble and then crashed into the river.
The bridge just gave out. It was a total free fall the whole way down. My my trunk got torn in half. I cannot believe that I'm not paralyzed.
There is no way out of this.
It just gave way. It started rumbling and just gave way. It was a total free fall until we came to the until we hit the ground.
He falls dozens of feet and watches as other cars fall to the ground.
I thought it was, you know, 40, 45 feet, but I think it's more along 30 feet. After everything stopped, I could hear the other cars coming down the incline, sliding down and then falling to the level that I was at. And so I stayed in my truck until they had all fallen. Lucky none of them fell on me.
Yes, you think? Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about this? When you're on a bridge, do you ever think about what you would do if the bridge collapsed and your car was to go into the water?
No.
Really? I have a total escape plan worked out. I have it all.
What is it? So
I
you can all copy it.
No. The key is to have your window rolled down.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to have your window rolled down so that you can open the car door because it equalizes the water pressure.
I was talking to one of my friends and, you know, nothing's fortunate about this. And he's like, well, it is good that it's hot right now because a lot of people probably did have their windows down.
Yeah, because if you fall into the water, if your window is up, you will not be able to open the car door. But if you roll the window down, the water comes in, and then you got to make sure you have your seatbelt unbuckled. Otherwise, it will simply drown you before you can open the door, and that's not going to be very clever. But if you roll down the window, you can open the car door. Guys, and I think this is a suburban white geeky guy thing to do. Guys have all kinds of escape plans and contingency plans for things that will probably never happen to them: zombie attack, car falling off, going to prison, alien invasion, chest burster. You know, guys have all kinds of ways out of things that are never actually going to take place. Rick, about the podcast. If Scotty edited out every segment of the show in which he sounded like an ass, you'd have 2 minutes of actual show to air. He might actually be telling the truth for a rare change. Scotty insists, I just talked to him back in there, he insists now that he has double-checked the podcast and that at no point and in no way is there any editing that's happened, that he has not removed any segments of yesterday's program. So we'll have to we'll investigate for ourselves.
Maybe he'll add more references to smoking if we ask.
Somebody, let me add... Scotty, you can just type this on the screen. You don't have to come in here and, you know, bless us with your presence. Have you begun adding at certain segments in the podcast?
A laugh track.
Well, close.
No.
Have you begun adding to the podcast, Scotty, rim shots at certain points?
Oh, my God.
That'd be great.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Scotty, have you been doing that? I've gotten more than one email from more than one person, and they've asked, they're like, who's the person that keeps adding rim shots behind certain things? And it's not that rim shot, because it's not the one that we use in here sometimes. Because they said that it's been used in places where it just doesn't make any sense. And let's be honest, Scotty, that sounds like two people, and the other one lives in D.C. So, yeah, okay, all right. Here's Tim Riley.
But that is interesting, if that is indeed the truth.
Could be.
Well, let's talk about this this C star. He's not even a B star. He's former Prison Break star Lane Garrison. He was supposed to be sentenced for manslaughter today. This is the guy that got drunk and hit that kid and killed him when he was driving. Let's see here. Well, he's going to go to jail for now, and then he's going to come back in October to be sentenced for some ridiculous reason. Paul Keisel, the attorney for the family of the boy who was killed in the crash, says they're disappointed Garrison hasn't been sentenced as of yet.
The facts are that this individual used his celebrity status to entice three teenage kids, invite himself to a high school party with the tragic consequences that resulted from that.
His celebrity.
I'm a big star.
I'm Lane Garrison.
Who?
Suppose guys like that actually have to take like a headshot and a demo reel along with them to try. And wasn't he with a bunch of underage girls?
Yes.
Jesus, you'd think that Rob Lowe would have taught you a lesson, my friends, but no. All right.
Well, following his dismissal from Grey's Anatomy, you can tell this was put out by a PR person, by the way.
Is this the press release where Isaiah Washington blames all the problems on the fact that he wasn't a subservient enough black man?
Uh-uh. This is brand new.
Because that was the last thing he was saying.
This is the one about caring about others.
Uh-huh.
There we go.
Wait.
Remember, when you're in trouble, hug children in Africa covered with flies. Isaiah Washington ventured out to Sierra Leone.
Hold on, I'm writing this down.
There he finds that doing charity work brought him comfort from his sorrows.
Oh, God.
And the sense of belonging in a culture far different than those in selfish Los Angeles. Washington says, quote, "This is the thing that kept me sane while all the negatives were happening on Grey's Anatomy. I had all the support over there, but not here."
Wasn't he responsible for most of the negatives on Grey's Anatomy?
He's such an ass. So, according to the person that he he hired to clean up his image. He worked with his children's charity. Oh, now it's his children's charity, is it? He has started a children's charity for children covered with flies with their bones sticking out. This is called...
What kind of acronym would that possibly be?
Also, this is called the Gondo Bay Manga Foundation. While doing so, Isaiah Washington said that he and his wife both fell in love with one of these young boys covered with flies and are even considering adopting one. He'll wait till the next time he has to clean up his reputation. Washington added that...
He was the most charming-looking, beautiful, distended child we'd ever seen.
He found a genetic connection with the people of Sierra Leone. It kept him moving forward on a daily basis.
Oh, Jesus.
This has been in the making for what? When did he get in trouble? A month or so ago?
Oh, it was longer than that.
So this has been rewritten several times.
Did he go to rehab? I forget.
Yeah, I don't know what the rehab was for.
I mean, there's just no way. I mean,
a homophobic rehab, is that possible?
I can't even imagine what that would consist
homophobic
of.
Homophobic heaven?
Oh, for the love of God.
Okay, are we done with this one? Oh, the foundation is currently building a school there where more than 300 students will be enrolled this September, thanks to this fellow Isaiah Washington.
He really is. He's a child of God, Tim. He's
he really is.
He's a pillar of the community.
Total ass.
You know, he's a total ass, and he's already got another job. That's the frustrating thing. He got hired on that idiot. I mean, it's a job that's not going to get him anything.
The Bionic Woman. It's
gonna,
last two episodes.
It's going to be gone in like a day. Yeah, but they already hired him on the Bionic Woman. So, I mean, Jesus. He's just a dick, though. So, all right, there you go.
Go hug some children.
Go hug somebody covered in maggots. Jesus, God. All right.
Well, here's something totally different. American Airlines says it'll be the first U.S. carrier to test high-speed internet service in flight.
I saw that. Now, is that the Virgin thing?
No, this is the American Airlines.
Okay.
It's got a test service next year as some Boeing 767-200s that fly mostly transcontinental routes. They're going to charge a fee for it, though, but they haven't decided what it's going to be. So it's going to be pretty high, probably. They will work with Wi-Fi-equipped notebook computers and PDAs. The vice president for marketing said the service might be a success. If it is, it'll be expanded throughout their fleet. The airline expects demand for the service to come from business travelers. Not that anyone else might like this thing, anyway. But if you go to PDX, I think PDX is the best airport in the country. It has a nice little area for you, a nice little Wi-Fi area that you can sit in comfortable furniture with, in front of a big screen TV.
Now, where is that at?
Right here at our own airport?
No, but I mean, where, what section, is that before the security check
or after?
They
have like two or three of them. After.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And they weren't there the last time. When was the last time I flew? About a month ago? Yeah, there were two or three of these places.
All right. So, and Lara is actually, as we're counting down to our trip through Europe, Lara is trying to figure out.
It doesn't sound like you're looking forward to that.
No, it's going to be fine.
Did you settle on that week?
It's, yeah.
Thank God.
I can just tell you this. I mean, I still have to get... Well, technically speaking...
I was so nervous.
Well, I mean, look, you're going regardless, I guess. Technically, I guess I haven't had my... whatever, they have to, like, stamp a thing in the HR office so I can go, but...
you never go on vacation.
Because I'm such an indispensable part of the CBS family.
Seriously, when's the last holiday you've taken off?
Yeah. So, I think I'm going to be leaving
Christmas?
Friday the 14th of September. So I don't think I'll be doing that day, theoretically. I would be leaving Friday the 14th, like at noon.
That's fine.
And that I would be back, I mean, I'd be back the weekend, but I'd be back here in the studio Monday the 24th. So I'd basically be gone the week of the 17th, which is about all I can stomach.
Good, that's when I bought my tickets for.
All right, so you'll be gone.
I'm leaving, yeah.
You'll be here, though, Tim, won't you?
I'll be here, but I'm going Labor Day weekend. I'm gone the 28th of August through September 2nd.
It's all very confusing. All right.
Yes, I'll be here that Friday.
Okay.
So I'm not leaving until midnight that night.
All right. Have you filled out your paper?
No,
you
I need to go do that.
Do it immediately.
And then Scotty will Well, somebody's got to be here so they can. Somebody's got to be here to put my anguish, idiot American phone calls on the air during 11 and 3 when I'm over there being force-fed shepherd's pie or something. It's just, I want to do it. Where am I? So
this is Scotty's big break. It's his chance to shine.
Yes, his chance to come in and delete things with impunity and re-edit the show any way he sees fit.
As it should be.
Yeah. So anyway. Oh God damn! I have paperwork I got to fill out for that.
You can do it now.
I got to go. No.
We'll
I got to go.
Real time.
I got to go with my passport photo put onto my actual passport.
You haven't done that yet?
No.
Oh, time is running.
I know. No. I got to do it today. Well, we're already within the window where I'm going to have to pay.
That's what they all say.
I don't even want to say how much.
It's 100 something.
It's more than that. I am already inside the window where I'm going to have to pay an additional $250 to get my passport processed. So that's a lot of fun. That's wonderful.
Well, you use it on your next trip to Europe.
Yes. It's going to be fantastic. Anyway,
if you let Laura get her laptop, then you can spend time while you're waiting for your plane watching movies.
I can view pornography in the airport while I'm... This is no... You know, she's thinking about getting a MacBook.
Good for her.
To travel,
I highly recommend it.
To travel Europe with. Although, yeah. To be fair, Jen, Aaron's wife, and they are big... They're big Apple boosters. It's an entirely Apple household over at Aaron's place. Even though they are big Apple fans, Jen actually said that in her experience, there are so many net cafes in Europe, like way more than in America, that she actually took her MacBook but didn't use it. Oh. She ended up actually using net cafes for most of the time.
Every cafe there, at least in London, is an internet cafe.
Really, and this month, and I'm not complaining, because God love her, she's got a great job, and she makes like a ton of dough and whatever. But, you know, my wife's month-long European thing is just going to cost so much freaking money that I think she's probably going to end up putting off the MacBook purchase until she gets back anyway, because it would be like just like one more pile of cash in the fire.
Once you get sick of some opium den, you'll never remember it anyway.
Seriously, speaking of opium dens, I was watching that.
Are you going to go to Amsterdam?
No, I was going a whole different way with this. I don't even know where Amsterdam is.
It's close. It's in Holland.
Close to what?
To where you're going to be.
Do you know what I found out?
What's that?
I found out that Scotland, you sons of bitches, is not a country. Scotland, not a country. It's not a country.
I'm just kidding.
Are you channeling Scotty there for a second? I found out that legally speaking, Scotland, not a country. It is, in fact, a state, but it is not a country. It does not fulfill the requirements for countrydom. So,
But they do want to separate from the UK.
Oh yeah, well as anybody would, I think. But I think so. This is, and I don't even say this in my own defense because I'm not the one who said, is Scotland a country or is it just an area? That was actually my wife. That was the same night that she said, quote, I brush my teeth sometimes. But so just so you know, in defense of my wife, I had like a million people send me a link to some geography government website where they laid out that, in fact, Scotland does not meet the requirements to be classed as a country. So it is a state, and it's some other thing. It's like a principality or blah, 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 whatever the thing. So anyway, all right.
Scotland is not a country. Find out why Scotland does not meet the definition of a country.
That's what I'm saying right there. That's what we'll spend our vacation. We'll just go into Scottish bars and just announce really loud that you're not a country. You're just part of Britain. All right.
Yes, Scotland does have internationally recognized boundaries. It has 5 million people.
It does not have sovereignty, though. That's the thing. I think that is why Scotland...
It has its own GDP. However, Scotland does not regulate foreign or domestic trade. The Scottish Parliament is not authorized to do so.
No, yeah, that's the thing. Scotland has... I guess you can't have partial sovereignty. I mean, they are allowed to make certain decisions, but they are not an entirely
sovereign
nation.
They're able to control
nation.
Education, training, and social work, but not social security.
Yeah.
The power is granted to Scotland by the UK Parliament.
Also, somebody pointed out that if you are in Scotland and you get a passport, the passport, when it says country of origin, if you are Scottish, your passport does not say country, Scotland. It says United Kingdom.
Yes. It's part of the United Kingdom.
Yeah. So there you go. In your face, Scotland, not a country. That's one of those wacky factoids that'll show up on an episode of, some Aaron Sorkin program in the future.
And you'll know.
Yes. All right. 503-733-29. Next time he's ghostwriting on an Amy Paladino show. Let's see. Rick, the Portland airport is great in that you can get free Wi-Fi internet access. Mm-hmm. I flew to the Minneapolis airport, and there they make you pay $9 an hour. Who pays $9 to check email during a flight? Also, as cool as Wi-Fi in an airplane would be, I'd rather have some freaking electrical outlets so you can watch more than half a movie during a flight. Boy,
that is true.
God damn it, that makes me furious. Why don't they have electrical outlets on planes?
It would probably overload the circuits, I would imagine.
But I mean, couldn't they?
I mean, most of these...
least in first class.
Oh, maybe in first class.
I mean, I never fly first class, but that might almost be enough to do it because you know what? I got my creative Nomad my Creative Zen.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Can you put movies on that?
Yes. Yes, you can.
I was thinking about purchasing one so I could put episodes of Lost on it so I can watch it on the plane.
Yeah, and granted, I mean, it's not like a huge screen, but I mean, you know, whatever. You can rent a DVD player, I suppose, but that will work in a pinch. Like, if you're stuck somewhere, you're stuck in a plane, you don't mind watching it in a kind of small... Now, Lowe has one that's more expensive, bigger screen, but the whole unit is a lot bigger. Mm. Mine is the same dimensions as an iPod, and yeah, you can load movies or whatever on there. The other great thing about mine, and this is not the paid endorsement, I'm just saying, the other great thing about mine is you can load TV shows or movies on there, and then you can plug it into your TV set and just watch them on your regular TV screen. So I'm going to take my thing with me so I can watch, like, movies or whatever on the plane, but you know that the battery's going to conk out, like, halfway across the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be screwed. And I won't have any way to record my last thoughts as the plane plunges into a fiery depth. All right. What are we doing here? Hey, Scotty, let me just, Oh, is my computer up? Oh, this is me with the,
I quit you. Please, I kiss you on the mouth. Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Scotty J, our intrepid PA. I got to get one of those little, like, squawk boxes like Howard had for Gary so you can just talk to us from in there.
Scotty J.
Sorry. Tried to be funny there. Go ahead.
Anyway, what do we know about CNN? Do we know anything about the rest of the correspondents? Did we confirm anything? Did we hear back from anybody? Did we hear why Steve Kastenbaum never showed up?
Well, we talked to Lisa and Steve Kastenbaum. Let's take a look at the sheet real fast.
Yeah, let's do that. It says 11:30. Now, I'm no genius. I'm not Kronos, the god of time. But it does seem that that has passed.
Oh, you know what? She's all confused because I'm talking about Laura.
Really?
Yes.
The first I've heard of it.
Sarah looks at me. No, she goes, no, you have.
Did she correct you?
She says it like that, too. No, you have Steve at 110. Because there's no Matt. There's no Amanda.
No, but that's wrong.
There's no Amanda Moyer today, so Steve's taking her place.
No, we do have Amanda Moyer. We have Amanda Moyer at 110. It says it right here.
No. Well, the 110 needs to go by Steve because Amanda's not available today. Isn't that right, Sarah? Am I right? There you go. So nothing's going on. Everything's going to schedule.
Okay, well, this doesn't make any sense. Okay,
you might be right, because I know that Amanda wasn't available, but she had...
Steve's taking her place.
Okay. Was Steve talking about it?
So what it says Amanda Moyer at 110, though.
Well, I just kind of wrote that there because...
Okay, will you do me a favor, and I'm not trying to be jerky.
I'll fix it.
Well, no, but just do this. Will you do me a favor on this, the blank side of this? Will you just write down who's coming up when, so I know? Because I don't want to be angry at CNN gives us enough legitimate reasons to be angry. I don't want to be angry at them for something that they haven't done. So, thank you so much. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show. Big fan. I've got a couple suggestions for you that you must...
Before you stop down, do you call a lot of talk shows?
Just yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
You know,
go ahead.
I'd like to call Adam Carolla, but he doesn't take enough phone calls, you know?
All right.
Hey, one thing you have
Glad
to
we
do...
can be the substitute for Adam Carolla. When you can't get Adam Carolla, we'll do...
There is no substitute for the Rick Emerson Show.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, yes. Hey, your wife, Laura, is going to have a month to see Europe. You only have a very short few days, so
yes.
Don't let her be too leisurely. Don't let her linger over her latte. You know, you need to get up and start doing stuff. And then on the other side of that coin, don't try to see too much, you know. One thing you do need to see when you're in London is you need to check out the Beatles walking tour
now,
of London.
Now, what do you see there?
Well, it's a very, very cool tour. You walk, and you start out walking down, like, Savile Road, which was where they made all the mod suits and stuff, and
right.
It's a lot of tailors. And then you go by the Palladium Theater, where the Beatles, you know, once they really were, you know, more than just a bar band in Hamburg and Liverpool, you see the Palladium in the heart of London, where they broke huge. And then they take you by the Trident Studios, where they recorded a lot of music, and also you'll recognize
recognize it because it's on the cover of the Ziggy Stardust album with David Bowie standing outside.
Yeah.
That is the Trident Studios. I know you're familiar with the Trident Studios. There are a couple other landmarks. They show you the Apple offices where Paul McCartney has an office to this day. They show you a couple other places where there were speakeasies, where, you know, there were nightclubs where the Beatles and the Stones and Hendrix and all those dudes hung out at when they were leisure, you know, when they were hanging out.
Now, how much
and
could then, you, how much could you expect to pay for one of these tours?
Oh, man, it's cheap. It's cheap. You get a single dude who's like the world's biggest Beatle freak, and he tells you stories as you're walking. You know, you walk maybe 3-4 miles, and then you end up at the hallowed halls of Abbey Road Studios.
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean,
it's
I have
an amazing
to,
tour.
I have to confess that I'm not like the world's biggest Beatles fan. I mean, I like the Beatles.
I know.
But it does seem, I mean, now, so that is pretty great, though. I mean, just in a pop culture sense, that's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. And talk to your concierge at your hotel about the Beatles walking tour. There's brochures all over the place. I think we paid like £14.
Excellent.
You know, I mean, no, it was $14. I think it was £7 a couple of 3 years ago.
All right.
So it's well worth it, even if you're not a huge Beatles fan, just because you are a huge music fan.
Yeah.
It is a good tour. There's more than just the Beatles on it. Again, Trident Studios by itself. I mean, that was that. I stood in awe of that place. That's awesome.
Excellent.
And now, are you going to rent a car and drive north to Scotland?
You know, it's unclear. The worst mistake I made, by the way, was telling Lara that Tim and Sarah and the audience had started weighing in on all this, because now she's just putting it all on the hands of the listeners. Like, well, let the audience just figure out what we should do. Have them plan our itinerary.
Well, I would have to suggest that you not rent a car and drive. I take the trains, because driving on the other side of the road, if you're not used to it, is freaky. In the course of a week of driving north, luckily, I had somebody who'd driven over there quite a bit and was very experienced and didn't mind doing it. That's the other thing. If I did it, it would have totally freaked me out. But even with him driving, in the course of 7 days, we had 3 very close calls that were frightening.
Well, and of course, I'm not going to be driving. If we were to get a car, Lara would be the one driving, because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I couldn't navigate my way out of a bag. And so she's going to be driving, and let's just be honest. I mean, she's not listening, so I can say this. She's just going to be plastered the entire time we're there. Who am I fooling? So, I mean, so maybe the train is the way to go. All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay, thank you. And I wanted to just say one more quick thing.
Yeah.
And that is, when I'm on the air with you, it's like living in the future, because then I get to turn off, I get to hang up, and I get to listen to the last, holy moly, 42 seconds?
42? Nah, then that's not really funny. All right, thank you. There you go. I should just set up some sort of a blog where the audience can then create, set up our entire itinerary. What do you think?
Fine.
That's a great idea.
That's for Rick. Fine. All right.
But, you know, even if you hit somebody driving there, it's not that expensive. When Matthew Broderick hit some guy and killed him, it was only like $18.
I forgot all about that. And it was like a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, I seem to have killed somebody. Well,
another drunken Scotsman.
Well, that's a tongue lashing. All right. Hey, speaking of hitting a guy and killing him, Rachel McGrath's going to talk to us later on about Lane Garrett, or whatever his name is.
Lee Greenwood?
Lane Meyer. Whatever his name was, the guy.
Lane Garrison.
Yeah. Well, okay. Steve Kastenbaum up next. And a full bag of calls to get to, all the Rick Emerson Show, plus the top 560 slow dance songs and the search for the second worst song ever. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer joining us today. Hi, Amanda.
Hi.
So you are in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where there's a bridge collapse that everybody is talking about. And I know that, I mean, it's real early to make any of these assessments. I mean, is this, obviously it goes without saying that no one anticipated anything like this, right? Had there been any indications that this bridge was about to buckle, or that there was a strain on it like this?
No, to the people that were on the bridge, this came as a complete surprise. When the middle section collapsed, it fell in less than 4 seconds. So people really had no warning, and the bill came down, and then the sections on both sides fell in, and then people, the original section, the cars were on top, and they went straight down, and then the other ones came on top of it. So a very chaotic scene. People didn't know what was going on. Some people were trying to get away from the bridge. At the same time, other people were trying to help as best as they could.
And is there, I mean, are we at a point now, this happened, I guess, about 24 hours ago, something like that. Are we at a point now where they have, you know, the people who were going to make it out, all right, have made it out, and are they still, are they presuming that the people who are missing are not going to be rescued at this point, or do we even know?
Officials don't believe that any survivors will be found. They've switched the efforts from a rescue mission to a recovery effort, which means that they don't expect to find survivors. It'll be a more deliberate act. They're going to be trying to very carefully move this heavy material, and they've also got diving crews out in boats trying to use sonar and look for bodies.
This is obviously, in the grand scheme of things, this is a relatively unimportant issue, but, I mean, in terms of the city and the rest of the city's infrastructure, what kind of a strain does this put on the economy of the city as everybody is, I mean, as there is this bridge that is now no longer usable, what kind of strain does that put on the city trying to get places? Does it shut down the city?
It doesn't shut down the city, but it does cause a lot of traffic headaches because that's the main way of getting around in the city. But you know, there are other bridges, but people are afraid to use them now that this happened. It's not that there's anything necessarily wrong with those bridges. It's just from what happened, they're reacting. And a lot of people across the country are afraid of driving on bridges as it is. So when something like this happens, it really makes people more scared.
All right. CNN Radio correspondent Amanda Moyer. Thank you, Amanda.
My pleasure.
CNN Radio correspondent Amanda Moyer in Minneapolis, Minnesota. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll do these calls if we have a chance in this segment. We'll do our hunt for the second worst story ever. And let me ask you this. Do you ever stop and ponder where Rockwell is at this moment? You know Rockwell? Rockwell, he of the I always feel like somebody's watching me and I got no privacy. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You have no idea who Rockwell is? I don't want to, don't make me sing it. You know Rockwell, he sang the, I always feel like somebody's watching me.
Oh, okay.
You know that guy?
Uh-huh.
Do you ever ask yourself where Rockwell is right now? Because you know the thing is,
constantly.
That's,
who does that?
Me, because I heard that song playing this morning and I realized that I have no idea. I don't know if he ever did anything else. I don't know if he did a whole album. I don't know if it was a single.
I thought you were sitting here wondering like if he's having lunch right this very minute.
Well, that too, but I mean, is he even alive? Did he put out other records? Did he have other hits? And this is like that question that I sometimes have when I say, like, what is so-and-so doing at this very moment? Who's a good example? Like Rhea Perlman from Cheers. Like, at this very moment, what is Rhea Perlman doing? Or Steve Guttenberg. Right now, if we could have a camera that there's some sort of button on my desk and I could press it, and on my screen I suddenly see what Steve Guttenberg is doing, I just find it interesting.
I'd be kind of interested to see what Steve Guttenberg's doing.
That's what I'm saying. Are you attracted to Steve Guttenberg? Admit it right now.
No, maybe he's making a sequel to Boyfriend School, though.
No. That's fantastic. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, yeah. Initially I called because I saw Tom Potter sitting someplace having lunch, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so it was just like a Potter sighting, you know? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I walked up and I said, oh, you're the mayor? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And so, of course, you know, what does he do? He asks me questions about how I feel about Portland.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you. Was this some time ago?
No, this is about, 20 minutes ago, just
right.
About the time I called.
Well, then let's not name the restaurant. What area of Portland was he having lunch in?
Alberta and 27th, more or less.
All right, so that's, that's where that Cool Runnings Jamaican place used to be, which sadly is gone. They had a real fiery hot sauce there that I was partial to. Okay, so Tom Potter's having lunch. You recognized him, and you said, hey, you're Tom Potter.
Yeah, I said, oh, you're the mayor. And he's like, yeah, and he was sitting there with a couple of friends, and I said, you know, are these people, you know, city employees, and he's like, no, they do honest work. And, he was quite pleasant and everything. But, I just thought it was funny, you know. He's
the biggest proponent of honest work, Tom Potter.
He starts quizzing me about what it is I like about Portland, which is what you're always saying. That's all he's done is take a series of what do you call that? And you pay to see what people think about things.
Focus groups?
Yeah. He's just, you know, still doing it, you know, I guess, or something. But then the other thing was that I just thought it was amazing to find out through your show today that the Ferry Street Bridge? Which bridge was it? They said it was made of an amalgam of old silverware and aluminum foil or something.
I think
like
it was
experimental steel or something.
Oh, yeah. It was the not Fremont. Was it the Fremont Bridge?
I think it was the Fremont
Bridge. Yeah, that it was made out of, quote, an experimental type of metal.
Yeah, so is that just like, you know, they go through the recycling bins or something, you know? And they
That's where, like, Fat Tony goes down to the to the auto wrecking yard and just takes a bunch of old Torinos and compresses them into a bridge shape and sells it to the city.
Yeah, old leaf springs and things like that.
Seriously.
You know, wonderful.
Yeah.
Anyways, great show. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, my friend. There you go. Tom Potter. All right. Tom Potter taking a break from extorting money from the city of Portland to build a $200,000. For the idea that, you know, it's too bad Tim isn't here. Actually, we're fortunate that Tim's not in the room at this moment because then it would just degenerate into another bitch fest about Tom Potter. Yeah, they're honest workers because he's all about preserving the integrity of honest work. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I was on a flight last year, and there were actual outlets in the armrests to plug your computer in.
You lie. What airline?
Actually, this was a Taiwanese airline. I was going to Thailand, and it went through Taiwan, and it's called EVA.
Well, I mean, clear. If you're going
overseas, they do that stuff.
If you're going to Thailand, you need those so you can power up your bone-cutting saw.
Well, yeah. Well, plus I had an old computer with a battery that lasted like 3 minutes, so I was stoked when it actually worked. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, and you're right. They actually, it was a newer plane. It was a 777. I think they came out around like 2000 or so, and they kind of plan for stuff like this so they give more power generating capability.
It just seems like one of those things that, I mean, it's, you don't really think about it until somebody mentions it, and then you say to yourself, well, of course, like, why? There's no reason. Look, let me just tell you this. Can I tell you what I would gladly trade away? If they would give me a power outlet, even just one, even like one plug, I would gladly trade away that stupid air vent thing that blows down into your face. The only purpose that serves is so your neighbor can misaim it and dry your eyeballs out when you're trying to read.
Well, the absence of them on most domestic flights kind of is a testament to the age of the American airline fleet.
It's
They're
true.
All built in the 70s, early 70s, when nobody had any clue you'd ever want to plug anything in.
Built out of the same material that our bridges are made out of, probably.
That's right, experimental.
Don't think about that. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go. I wonder if when you go, I should have asked this guy that. I wonder if when you travel to Thailand, if you're sort of reluctant to tell people that. You know what I mean? Where are you going? Thailand? You know, I wonder what, because you know that when you tell somebody you're traveling to Thailand, especially if it's for vacation, you know what immediately goes through their heads. Let's see here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, yeah, I remember the Fremont Bridge. That was the one they built in Japan and then floated over here and raised up in the middle.
Well, it's like that, like the wait, are you making that up?
No, honest to God.
Really?
Oh, it upset the union steelworkers tremendously because the center section was made in Japan.
I was already skipping ahead to a joke about the London Bridge, which is, I think, in Arizona now. Isn't that right?
Yeah, Lake Havasu City.
So, let's back up. So, the Fremont Bridge was made in Japan?
The center section of it was, made over there.
Is that just because, I'm not being flippant about this. Is it like Japan bid lower or something?
Yeah, pretty much. It was done in the mid-70s, like 75-ish kind of area, and it was a lot cheaper. You know, back then, it was, you know, they were still, almost like having something made in China at this point.
That did seem to be a time when Americans were having difficulty building anything correctly, though, let's be honest.
Well, you know, just look at the 75 El Camino, and you can kind of say, well, maybe it wasn't such a bad idea.
Seriously. I mean, I got to tell you what, I got a Toyota that's on 185,000 miles and still running. My dad bought a Lare, you know what I mean? And that was like the worst investment of his entire life. So
that wasn't a good choice right there. Hey, on your passport deal, you know, you're not going anywhere, buddy. How soon do you plan on traveling?
Well, somebody has. I've got a lot of people like, it's too late with your passport, and it's in like 7 weeks or something.
Yeah, because like standard time was like 10 to 12, and expedited was like around 4 to 6 weeks. But because they changed the law requiring everybody to have passports to go to Mexico and Canada, the deluge of applications has extended both of those by like 4 weeks.
See, now,
to the point where the feds then came back in and said, well, maybe we don't really need to have a passport. But I don't think that huge bubble has gone all the way through
because I was talking to Bruce Agler, our friend, about this, program director. I'm just saying, he asked, you know, because he was asking me these questions, then I checked with the man himself, with the government. And the government's response was, and admittedly, this is only the government's words, so the government's response was that because now you know, you actually don't now need a passport to go to Mexico or Canada, you only need to have applied for one. that if you are willing to pay, it's like $270 or something, to expedite it, that they will get it to you in like 3.5 weeks. That's their claim.
And that's on top of the $150 for the passport itself? So.
Yeah, no. That's on top. Yeah, you have to pay for the passport. And then literally, they will put you to the front of the line if you are willing to pay like a $250, like, please get it to me now.
This passport is all altogether going to cost you like $200 or about $400.
I can't even tell you. And again, it's like I'm not.
Thanks for rubbing it in there for him.
No, I'm good at this.
No, and I'm zen with it. Let me just tell you this. I am.
You put it off to the last minute when you knew this trip was impending for a long time.
It's my fault. My wife planned this like a year ago. I am zen with the fact that this trip, and don't get me wrong, I love my wife. But really, let's be honest, I'm not trying to drag my heels, and I'm not dreading it. And it's not something I would do by myself, because I'm not much of a traveler. She is. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to put this under her to blame her as such. But I am saying, my wife is very much the motivation for this trip, and I am zen with the fact that my wife's excursion for the two of us is going to be costing us, like, you know, $900 jillion. And I just can't even worry about it anymore. You know what I mean? It's going to be such an ungodly sum of money that I can no longer even have stress about it.
Well, Scotty's got my cell phone number, so if you're stuck at the airport while she flies off on her trip, just give me a call. I can pick you up.
Thanks. Thank you. There you go. All right. Well, let's just hit the random button. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yes, Rockwell.
Yeah.
The high-pitched voice in that song?
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Sorry, you already knew that.
Is that the only thing you called about?
Well, you know, I have no friends, and you guys are my special radio friends.
Oh.
Okay, well, that makes two of us.
Well, peace out, brother.
All right, thank you. Bye now. All right. There you go. Okay.
Special radio friends.
I think on that depressing note, we should take a break. Tim Riley, are ye preparing news?
Oh, yes, it's updated constantly.
Are you making that up?
No, it is true. I just came back from the printer.
Fantastic. Would you like to tease something?
The Democrats want to give the U.S. troops a rest in Iraq. The Republicans are pretty peeved about that.
They're peeved. Okay. Why, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Back after this. What else are we doing later on? We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath, who will speak down to me in a patronizing British tone of voice. We'll have the top five slow dance songs from the 60s and our hunt for the second worst song ever. Here's Leo Nieders on the Rick Emerson Show. Tell your mama that you're leaving. The Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up here in just a skosh, we'll have Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Later on, our hunt for the second worst story ever. CNN radio correspondent Rachel McGrath and the top 560s slow dance songs. Before we do anything else, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to announce the glorious bastard of the week. Greetings and salutations, Matthew Waddle. You are being addressed at this moment because you, yes, you, have been selected as the AM 970 Glorious Bastard of the Week with all the rights and privileges that entails. In addition to the envy of your fellow man, you'll receive a bountiful cornucopia of swag from the AM 970 pile of crap, including tickets to Rockfest the 12th, August 26th at Portland Meadows, as well as the wonderful knowledge that, for at least this one week, you, sir, are just a little bit better than everyone else. Enjoy your newly elevated status, and don't hesitate to lord it over the less fortunate. Thank you for listening, Matthew Waddle. You, sir, are the glorious bastard of the week. And if you are not a glorious bastard, be sure to sign up at 970.am. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
From China with Hate, Attorney General Myers is warning potentially dangerous tires manufactured between 2002 and 2006 for light trucks, sport utility vehicles, and vans were made in China and shipped to the Yankee capitalist dog under the names of Westlake, YKS, and Compass. These are unsafe tires. And apparently, let's see. Oh, we imported 450,000 of these.
Well, that's great.
And distributed them nationwide. And, well, you should get rid of them if you have them.
Is it YKS, that company that makes zippers?
It might be.
Do you ever notice there's that one company that's on the name? The name of one company is on, like, every zipper everywhere, on Earth. Mm-hmm. It's like one guy somewhere that has the patent for the zipper for your pants. And it's like the ZYK company or the YXS company or some crap like that. All right, so... So they're trying to kill us with what? First it was
tires.
First it was dog food, then it was child food, then it was toys, now it's tires.
Now we're trying to kill your child with Elmo.
All right.
And the Sesame Street characters. Yes, they're all the center of a global toy recall. Fisher-Price, which used to make safe toys for children, until they get rid of reasonably paid American workers and ship these to Canadian Chinese slaves who put, you know what they put? High levels of lead paint in all these toys. To poison your children as you're taking them to the hospital in your SUV that has unsafe tires.
Unsafe Chinese tires that are going to burst into flame at a moment.
I can't feel my legs anymore. Oh, I'm trying to get my poisoned child to the hospital who just ate a leaded Elmo.
Has somebody already made a poison me Elmo joke?
Probably.
Okay. Come on, everybody. Let's do the
tickle dance. Yes, Dr. Nadine Burke of the... California Pacific Medical Center.
Oh, they tease.
Huh? Says toddlers put everything in their mouths and love things made in China.
You're really concerned because their brains are still developing up until really the highest risk age is until about 6 years of age. And then at that point, it can lead to long-term learning problems like attention deficit or lower IQ.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And turn them into good, God-fearing communists. Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the American Bandstand show. They are hopping and bopping in Philadelphia to mark this 50th anniversary. Among artists who say they owe their careers to Bandstand and legendary television host Dick Clark are Connie Francis. And I'm on the wrong page. And Connie Francis.
I happened to see a record lying there and played it and liked it. And I was at home and turned on at 4 o'clock, turned on American Bandstand, and Dick Clark said, there's a new girl singer, and she's headed straight for the number one spot. I knew my life would never be the same, and it was not.
I think somebody else has had a stroke. You know, my browser has completely crashed over here. And it won't let me reopen. God damn it. Does this ever happen to you? And I'm not talking to you,
never,
Apple man.
Never to me. Although I do have a Windows laptop.
So you have had this happen.
I've had to send that note to the people.
Jesus. Yeah. What is it? Click here to send an observation to Microsoft, who will do nothing about this glitch. So we use the Firefox browser, which is, by the way, like leaps and bounds better than Internet Explorer.
Yes, it is.
And so I don't blame this on Firefox. I blame this on the Windows operating system here. So my Firefox browser, because I had like 900 different windows open, it crashed, right? And so I'm like, that's fine. It crashed. So it crashed. It's closed. I click on the Firefox icon to relaunch the browser, and it says, what does the window say, of course? Firefox is already running. To open a new instance of Firefox, you must close the existing Firefox program already running. There is no Firefox. I closed it. It's gone. There are no Firefox instances running on my machine. There is nothing more infuriating than that when you click on something and it says, hey, before I can do anything, you need to close that program. And the program has been closed. Program is not running in any way, shape, matter, manner, or form, you dicks. I'm sorry. Got a little carried away there.
And now back to our story already in progress. Chubby the Checker says his life was changed when he appeared on American Bandstand to do the twist.
I did the twist on American Bandstand. Everything changed. Even American Bandstand changed. And dancing across the planet changed. So it's a very special place for me.
Do you suppose that guy's life is good or bad?
Good.
Chubby Checker. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, he can't be mad.
I bet he's a real Chubby Checker at this point. Because of all the royalties.
See, but Oh, okay. I didn't know where we were going with that. I thought maybe he'd had some... I thought he had an ailment of some kind.
No.
And apparently Connie Francis did have a stroke. Now I feel bad. I was just sort of goofing. But Scotty says that she indeed did have what doctors probably referred to as a minor circulatory interruption of the head. Chubby Checker, though, but he didn't write the twist. So I'm wondering if he actually made any money on it. Because it was written by Hank Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, hey, here's a little pop culture quiz, Tim. Do you know where Chubby Checker got his name?
I don't know.
Dick Clark's wife named him that. And the Chubby Checker is a knockoff of Fats Domino. So it's the first name is a reference to his size and then the game. So Fats Domino, Chubby Checker.
Oh.
So he did the twist, and I think the twist for a long time held the record. I think maybe he's been surpassed by now. But it had the record for the song that re-entered the American charts the most number of times. Because the original twist hit the charts, I think, four different times. Mm-hmm. And then there was Let's Twist Again. There was...
The Peppermint Twist.
Was the Peppermint Twist a knockoff of the twist?
I believe so.
Okay.
It's just a flavored twist.
And then he did the twist again with the Beach Boys, and then I think he did the twist with the Fat Boys in the 80s. So, I mean, that's a guy. And I think there might actually be a line of twist-themed restaurants, but I'm not entirely sure about that. Mm-hmm. So there he goes, Chubby Checker.
One of the original dancers on the series, Justine, was 12 years old when she snuck into the television dance program.
Well, they said, well, you go there tomorrow, and you take your sister's birth certificate.
They've all
and
had strokes.
In. So I was 14 for 2 years.
She tried to get into the program once and was stopped.
The cop nailed me at the door. He said, you're not 14. I said, I'm in their class. He said, I don't care. So home I went, crying, embarrassed, ashamed, and all that.
Tanya Tucker.
Well, the Democrats want to give U.S. troops a rest between deployments. That has been approved by the House.
On this vote, the yeas are 229, the nays are 194, and three have voted present. The bill is passed.
The Republicans are ripping mad about this little break.
To imply in any way that our nation's civilian and military leadership is not committed to the welfare of our troops and our family is, again, a very specious argument.
Oh, put a sock in it, a-hole. Jesus.
Democrat Larry Slaughter says troops are human beings.
They do not deserve to be cast around as the administration stumbles forward, seeking to find a solution to a problem of its own creation.
Is it just me, or does everybody sound like they have extra saliva in their mouth today?
Well, they're all from American Bandstand.
They've all got whatever Michael Reagan has.
Meanwhile, there are still 23 Christian hostages being held by the Taliban, and the South Korean delegation is hoping to secure the release of 21 of those. These crazy people went over there looking for peace, and then they got kidnapped, and now they expect us to send in our military and rescue them.
I'm sure Jesus will free them.
Yeah. Let's see, what else do we have? A student minister at an Indiana church faces charges for allegedly beating a teenager during a lengthy exorcism aimed at curbing the boy's autism. Monroe County Sheriff's Detective
I'm
serious, yeah.
This is the second one of these stories in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday we had that story, and it had that phrase like, beating his daughter who was covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, 22-year-old Eddie Yasuji faces a felony confinement and misdemeanor charge for allegedly tying down and beating a 14-year-old at the boy's Bloomfield home.
I believe he fully thought that his actions were to drive out demonic spirits.
The boy was confused why he was being beaten.
You know, he was just confused about why he was being injured, and there was demands for demons to come out because he had, you know, in his words, he didn't have any demons.
Yeah, boy, I'm glad we're on the lookout for those crazily Muslims, Tim, because, you know, Islam is a religion full of a lot of nutty people.
Yes, there is.
That's a religion full of people that just can't be counted upon to behave rationally, not like good God-fearing white Christians.
That's right. Uh-oh, Nicole Richie will do time at the same Linwood jail Paris Hilton called home for 23 days. Richie had the option of serving 90 hours at a private jail. And those facilities are nicer than Linwood for sure, but there's a downside. When an inmate does time at a private facility, they must serve out the entire sentence. At Linwood, the sheriff could turn a 4-day sentence into a revolving door because of overcrowding. Even if Nicole didn't go in and out, she would do much less than 4 days. She could end Linwood one evening, as Paris did, and she'll get credit for an entire day. On top of that, there is a good time credit that she would have to shave a significant portion of the sentence.
Well, and she can play that baby-making card, too, because she's pregnant, right? Isn't that the thing? And so she can, she can do it, my baby, you know, and then they'll, like, just let her out, like, that day.
I hate people like that.
Excellent.
Always the baby's excuse.
All right, let's see. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I wanted to give you a little info on London. I was forced to go there as a youth and with my parents. Of course, I wanted to stay home. But the one saving grace that I did find there after going through all the places that they make you go was the Torture Museum.
Torture Museum. I'm all over that. Where? First of all, where did they make you go that you didn't want to go to?
Well, you know all the places, Anne Hathaway's Cottage, London Bridge, you know, Big Ben, all that stuff that you have to see.
And how old were you at this time?
14.
Oh, yeah. See, when you're 14, probably a big clock doesn't really matter to you all that much.
No, staying home and partying with my older brother while the folks were out of town seemed like a much better idea.
Staying home and getting high while listening to Foghat.
Bingo.
Okay, yeah. All right, so a torture museum, where was that at, sir? Do you know?
You know, I was 14. I don't quite remember, but it was three stories of glorious old torture devices.
Torture devices.
Including an Iron Maiden.
Really? Excellent.
Oh, yeah. And then the other thing that I thought was really cool to see was the crown jewels. I don't know if you can still see those.
Now, that's the thing where they have the guys out front with the big hats that aren't allowed to laugh or something?
No, that's in front of Buckingham Palace.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
That's Buckingham Palace. This is where they have, like, the African jewel, whatever that biggest diamond is. And all
oh,
that.
Like the Hope Diamond or whatever the hell that is?
It's bigger than that, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The crown jewels were really cool, except for your brain can't, like at Body World, you couldn't really process that those were real dead people.
Right.
Like when you're going by the jewels, that you can't really process that those are actual, you know, like the biggest diamonds you've ever
seen.
Like
how much are they worth? I mean, is there even a dollar value?
I don't know.
I just figured how many people had to die to plunder to get all that stuff.
So are the crown jewels owned by somebody? Are they owned by like the royals or by the
government?
Yeah,
they're owned by the royals.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Torture museum. Though. Now you're speaking my language, sir.
I figured that would be right up your alley.
Thank you, my friend.
All right, have a good one.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I didn't get my Andy thing.
It doesn't say Andy. Scotty's not trying to make up for by typing it over and over again. I'm sorry. Hello, who is this?
Hi, it's Andy.
Andy!
All right.
Okay. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling
down.
That's
too soon. Too soon.
Oh.
Too
okay.
soon.
Hey, you. Bye-bye.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Didn't even have a chance to hit the off.
I saw Andy at Safeway the other day.
Really? Does he work there?
No. He was just there because I met him at a listener party and because he always ends his calls with, like, I hate you. I'm like, oh, you're the guy who hates Rick. Okay.
Okay. Only on this program would that be considered some sort of an endearing way to end a call. One more here, and then we'll continue with the news. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Psst. Psst, come here. Hey.
Hey. Hey, man. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you, sir? Didn't mean to wake you up. What's up? What's up?
Nothing.
Just passing the time.
Yeah.
Get a few minutes left on the service plan for the moment.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Seriously. All right.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah, no problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wonderful. Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Well, Jesus. Here's Jim Riley. I don't really know how we follow that up, but go ahead.
Apparently, a whole bunch of politicians are having a news conference shortly about the safety of Portland bridges.
Oh, really?
So they'll pat themselves on the back, saying, well, we think they're okay, but if they're not, it's not our fault.
Clearly they're not.
That's at your own risk.
I know that KGW's news stories are to be taken with a large mine of salt, but, I mean, they were quoting a lot of established studies saying that if only I could read them, if only my browser would start over here, if only I was able to look at the Internet or read my email in any way. Mm. But apparently there's like 20% of Portland bridges which are failing to some degree. I mean, the good news is I'm not driving across any bridges. The bad news is I am today bicycling across bridges, which means that it'll take me like four times as long to get across.
I think a bike would float longer than a car.
Well, you know, the good thing
about... there's a big twisted metal box to get out of.
Yeah, think about that, you sons of bitches. And also think about the other thing I do think about, actually, because I think about... I got a whole weird thing about it. I do. Whenever I go across a bridge, I do think about, like, what happens if I tip over and go over the side somehow. The thing on a bike is... I will be able to free myself, hopefully, from the bike and turn the fall into a leap and sort of, like, land in the water. Because I think
away from the falling debris?
Yeah, and also, you got to straighten out and sort of knife into the water. Because if you hit flat, like if you belly flop, that'd kill you, I would imagine. I mean, I would imagine that you wouldn't survive that. Because has anybody here seen that documentary, The Bridge, about the Golden Gate Bridge suicides?
Nah.
No.
It's really well done, but... Boy, is it depressing. But, you know, if you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge, it's not the jump that kills you so much as it is the sudden stop. It's not even drowning. It is literally hitting the water kills you. Unless they interview one guy who jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in 2004 and lived. was totally fine. He's not, I mean, he was, you know, had some busted legs or whatever, but I mean, he knifed into the water, and that's how he survived. So I think jumping off the Hawthorne Bridge or falling off, I think as long as you went in vertical, you might live. But of course, then the problem is, are you down so far that, like, you know, that you have to get the back up to the air? You're going to, you know, you drown and so forth. I don't know. Where did this even start? Oh, anyway. So I hopefully I will survive if the Hawthorne Bridge should collapse on the way home today. Don't everybody go thinking about that on the way home today. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm Dan. I drive a delivery truck in Portland, and I drive across Tremont Bridge probably 15, 20 times a day.
What you should think about is the fact that apparently the builder of that bridge will no longer travel on it because he believes it's a death trap.
Yes, and also when I drive home from work, I obviously drive on the Tremont Bridge. And on the bottom level, when traffic's almost at a complete stop, you can feel the bridge shaking up and down about 6 inches.
Oh. Now, see, the good news is that when the bridge shakes like that, that's actually good. They build in that flexibility so that it doesn't just snap clean off and plummet in. Like if you watch the Space Needle, do you know this? That in a heavy windstorm, the Space Needle blows up to 3 feet from side to side. Now, here's the thing, though. They do that intentionally because, as an engineer explained it to me, if the Space Needle did not blow and bend in a windstorm, literally the wind would just snap it right off and it would just plummet to the ground. The bad news is, of course, the bad news is that won't help your sphincter unclench when you're sitting on the bridge today.
Yeah, I think I may need to purchase some Depends to drive home from work now on.
I mean, the Selwood Bridge, though, is the one that really freaks me out when there's the big signs.
I never go over that.
No,
Well, that thing's almost older than Portland.
And there's, like, a big sign, like, trucks, stay off of this. And, I mean, they don't actually say, like, because you'll collapse the bridge, but we all know that's why.
Uh-huh.
Like, the fear in your voice, just the abject terror. Well, if we don't speak again, Dan, thank you for listening.
Well, and thank you for your comedic genius.
I'm glad we were able to be here for you during your life.
Yes.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, there you go.
You're a jerk.
Fantastic. I'm just trying to be, you know, glass half full, Sarah.
Oh.
All right. Who wants to break?
Sure.
We're breaking. All right, Tim Riley, you will return at the bottom of the hour with more news.
I did, with a story of nuns targeted in the newest sex abuse cases filed this afternoon in Portland. Nuns.
How many priests?
I'm looking here. I don't see any.
No, nuns. Never mind.
No, well, there are nuns. And
okay, it was late, but there it was.
And a janitor.
Janitor?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Top 5 slow songs of the 60s coming up.
Says Carl the janitor.
No, I almost had a joke and it fluttered away from me like a moth in a breeze. All right, Tim Riley returns at the bottom of the hour with more news, top 5 60s slow dance songs, and our hunt for the second worst story ever, plus more of your bold calls. Skip the Rick Emerson Show. And radio program. Do we have this, I know this is a couple days old. Do we have this Faith Hill sound of her scolding the woman who grabbed her husband's junk?
No. I mean, I'm sure I could find it.
Somewhere on the net, I do it, except I'm not being permitted to open my browser. Bill Gates has decided I don't need to do that anymore.
So you try the little Control-Alt-Delete thing?
Yeah, well, see, because it says, stupid everything. So my Firefox browser crashed. I click on Firefox. It says, Firefox is already running. To start Firefox again, you must close all applications of Firefox. Firefox is not running. It's closed. So then I hit the Control-Alt-Delete, Task Manager. Doesn't even show it there. So I'm going to have to restart my computer. I just don't care enough. Anyway, this is from, and then we'll get to these calls. So if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get you in just a second. This ball-oriented story has to go first, though. We'll read this, then the calls, then Rachel McGrath.
I found it on TMZ, but I need to find it on YouTube because TMZ.
Yeah, and I don't know, and I'm assuming it's clean, but I don't really know. Dateline, and then we'll get these this story, then the calls, then Rachel McGrath, then probably the hunt for the second worst story ever. Then we'll do Tim, then the top five slow dance songs of the 60s. Lafayette, Louisiana is where this story comes from. Faith Hill, first of all, they have this song, and I know this because the story indicates that this is the appropriate music to be playing with this. We were just talking the other day about, what was it, about Boys to Men, and they sing that song that, I'll make love to you. I don't mean to be a prude. It's not really even about being a prude. I mean, you look through my music collection, I've got any amount of risque or blue material. It's just, the phrase make love in a song title is just sort of awkward. It's just kind of icky. And I don't know why that is. I don't think I'm alone with that. It's just sort of, and it's always, I don't know, it's always from some act that you just find, it just sounds a little off-putting, like when four guys are singing to one single underage girl. Or here, when apparently, this was as Faith Hill and Tim McGraw were singing a song called Let's Make Love. Anywho, Faith Hill went from singer to protective wife when she snapped at a fan during a concert. During this weekend's Soul to Soul concert, headlined by Hill and her husband, singer Tim McGraw, who really could do better at this point, I would think, a female fan grabbed McGraw in the crotch as he exited the stage. Hill singled the fan out in front of thousands and said, somebody needs to teach you some class, my friend. She scolded the fan by saying that you shouldn't grab somebody else's husband, except apparently she didn't just say that. Do we have the actual... hear the word balls right there. Fantastic.
And it's so weird. She's dancing and she's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Excellent. Hill's representative, you couldn't really hear that there, but it was a whole lot of don't grab my husband's sack. Hill's representative confirmed the incident to People Magazine, but said wouldn't give any more details. Hill and McGraw have been married for 10 years and have three daughters. Blah, blah, blah. Boy, she's just a... You know, I do like Tim McGraw. I really do. I'm not a huge country fan, but I do like Tim McGraw. But Faith Hill,
She's just unlikable.
She sees a lot of people on. She sees a lot of people on Tuesday. You know, did you see that story? And I know that I said was going to get calls, and I swear to God, I will in like 5 seconds. But did you see that story? Tim and I were talking about this, about those new call letters that have been issued to that Hawaii TV station.
Uh huh.
That's all I can really say about it. I don't even really know if we can talk about it.
But it is issued.
It is.
If we happen to come across a story that involves those said letters, we'd probably be able to talk about it if it's in a news report.
I suppose.
Because I'm sure there'll be very many interesting things coming from that station.
The FCC, and this is the Federal Communications Commission, by the way, the FCC themselves just issued and approved a set of new call letters for a television station in Hawaii. I just don't even know how to handle this. I'll just say that the call letters for this television station in Hawaii, these call letters, which were themselves issued by the FCC, you know, it's like when you don't want to drive the ball in, and you don't want to, you don't want to go for a field ball. You just, field goal, you punt.
Mm-hmm.
The call letters, they couldn't think up they couldn't decide on some call letters, so they decided to punt. Those are the call letters that they went with. Sort of like that.
But it's weird because don't...
Scotty, what are you doing?
Don't radios...
Or he's trying to fix my...
Don't radio stations usually begin with the letter K?
Yeah. Yes, they do, Sarah. So... we should just stop, because I don't even really know. It's so perplexing. Jim and I were talking about it the other day. We're like, well, what if we had, because radio stations are required to do a legal ID in TV stations once an hour, where they have to say, like we say, this is KCMD Portland, where they have to the call letters and then their city of license. And our thing was, well, what if we had that station in Hawaii, which is a real station, what if we had a tape recording of their legal ID, where they used these call letters, which the call letters, there's a K there, and then there's an N and a T in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
If we just had it played or tape recording of their legal ID, like, is that something that's permissible by the FCC, since the FCC themselves issued the call letters? It's all very confusing. All right, we'll do these calls. Then Rachel McGrath. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Oh, hi, Rick.
Hello.
As far as crossing that bridge.
Yes, sir.
I went sailing a couple of weekends ago, and they issued us these vests that if you pull the thing, they inflate.
Yeah.
But it looks just like a bike vest. You know, so it's kind of lightweight, thin, and everything. You could probably get one in reflector orange, you know.
Seriously, but, just wear it every time I go over the Fremont Bridge or any bridge in Portland, for that matter.
Well, you know, you consider how close you are to death every day crossing the river, you know, whether you're in a car or a bike.
It's true. Can I just tell you this? I'm a pretty big pussy when it comes to bicycling. I try to, you know, even though, you know, you deserve the whole lane and so forth, when in doubt, I yield to cars because, you know, you're going to lose that face-off.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly.
But I have bicycle friends of mine who bicycle across the Ross Island Bridge, and there is just no way. There is no way, man, because you get a gust of wind that knocks you over, you're going to be run over by about 9 different cars before you even know what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I'm talking to clerks. I'm over at Everybody's Garden Center.
God bless you. Are you really?
Yes, I am.
Are you telling them where you heard about their fine store?
I talk about you every time I come in here.
Let's hear you do it.
Every time I come in here. Well, wait, let me just hand you over to the...
Rick Emerson? Hello?
Hi. With whom am I speaking?
You're speaking with Katie at Everybody's Garden Center.
Hi, Katie. This is Rick Emerson from the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. How are you today?
Pretty good. How's it going?
It's going fantastically. We were just speaking to John there, who apparently is a repeat customer at your fine business, which he heard about.
One of our favorite customers.
Thank you. He really is he?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Does he ever buy big bags of ladybugs?
I'm not sure if he's ever bought ladybugs from me, but it's possible that he has in the past.
Is it true that you guys sell thousands of ladybugs?
We do. 1,000 ladybugs.
Now, if I was to come in there, if I was to take a leave from my radio program and come in there and buy a bag, you know, ladybugs, do they literally, they come in a bag and a box?
They do. They come in a little mesh bag.
Really? Now, have you ever had somebody, like, and how much could I expect to pay for 1,000 ladybugs?
It's actually $1,500 for $12.
Now, did you ever get somebody who comes in and they buy 1,500 ladybugs and you suspect that they're up to no good with them?
I'm not sure. I try not to speculate bad things about my customers.
Well, there you go. See, that's what I'm saying. That is, you know what it is? Because I figure what a man does with ladybugs is his own business.
I mean, did you have, like, some kind of off-the-wall thing that you were planning on doing with these ladybugs?
No, absolutely not. No, and you can't prove that I do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. I'm sorry, and I apologize. What was your name?
Katie,
thank you so much. Would you we're glad that we can send customers to your fine business, which is at 519 Southeast Main. You can hand us back now to John. Thank you, Katie.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye now.
Do you want me to get some ladybugs and slip them into Scotty's lunch bag or something?
I cannot advocate that. That would be wrong, sir. I can't. Thank you.
Can you imagine 1,500 ladybugs? You open up your. What would you put those in?
Let me just say this, and I'm only making this observation. I'm not suggesting anything. Let me just say that if only there had been an Everybody's Garden Center within walking distance of my school when I was a teenager.
Really?
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Actually, the fellow here, he said, to just tell you just now, they're actually drawing for the Ted Nugent contest right now.
Really? Fantastic.
Yeah.
The Ted Nugent's going to be playing in Silverton. Poison's actually going to be in Silverton on August 8th, I think, which is next Wednesday. Everybody's Garden Center is doing that, too.
Do you have a drum roll there?
Yes, I do. Wait, hold on a second.
Oh, he says he can't announce it over the air anyway.
Oh, really?
He can't announce it over the air.
Because there'll be a riot. All right. All right, John, thank you so much for patronizing one of our fine advertisers. You call us anytime.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Ka-ching! All right. Okay, Dave, hold on a second.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
He's going to kiss you on the mouth.
If I keep doing this, Scotty will snap. If I keep doing this today, we'll break him.
Oh, yes.
Hi, Scotty.
Pretty certain I'm losing weight today, though.
Yeah. Dave, hold on just a second, would you please?
Okay.
All right. Hey, so, Scotty.
Tell me it's working.
It's 2:15.
I swear it's because Sarah had me talk to Laura.
Are you blaming Sarah for this?
I have a feeling that Laura drops the ball every time she talks to me because she feels like it's okay.
Yeah, I'm not blaming you. I'm really not. I'm only fooling. So not
that nutty Rick Emerson.
Okay, that was fun. That was funny though. I shouldn't laugh because on the one time out of 100 when you're funny and I laugh,
go home and go yes.
No, and it just makes you say unfunny things the other 99. But I so we didn't have Steve Kastenbaum. We had Lisa and we had Amanda Moyer. And now Rachel McGrath is also apparently not going to show up today.
That's weird.
Yes, it is. So it's probably pointless to call CNN at this juncture because we would have no time for her now anyway. She's kind of past her window. So, you know, if she calls in the next, like, 30 seconds, we'll have time. But, I mean, just so we can all be keeping score of who's showing up and who's not. So, anyway, I simply wanted to tell you that if Rachel calls late, we're probably not going to have time.
Okay.
So be on the lookout for that. If she calls in, please be nice, be courteous, because she's, you know,
great.
British and brittle.
Is your search engine working now?
My browser? Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
No, actually, a listener called that in, so...
Excellent.
I'm just doing what I'm told.
No, it is now opening. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Scotty J, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, Dave. How can I help you?
Guy, you're only encouraging him when you laugh at him.
Well, the thing is, he says something. He's like a stopped clock that's right one day out of, like, every 10 years. He says something funny every now and again, and I will snicker, and then I know that just encourages him, makes him try to be funny. And it's like he really can only be funny accidentally. So, anyway, what's up?
Well, you may be over with the bridges, but, you know, the Hawthorne actually isn't that high. I used to have a buddy that he was a barefoot skier, and he used to actually jump off the Hawthorne Bridge.
Really?
To start, yeah.
What do you mean it went a barefoot skier? What are you talking about?
Well, those guys that, you know, you have a rope, and you're getting pulled behind a boat, and you don't have a ski, and you're skiing on your feet.
But, I mean, he would... I don't understand. So he would be standing where on the Hawthorne Bridge?
He would... There's a little platform on the... kind of on the west side, on the south side of the bridge. And he would have a rope from a boat. I guess they threw it up to him. And there'd be a little bit of slack in the rope, and he'd tell the boat to take off, and he'd watch it take off, and then he'd jump, and he'd kind of land on his back on the water, and about that time the rope would, you know, get tight, and it would take him across the water.
Interesting. That is just, and so it wouldn't kill you.
No, it's not that high. It really isn't. I mean, the Morrison's a little bit higher, and, you know, of course the freeway bridges, but most of them aren't that high.
Jesus.
You know, you go out to, like, Clackamas, and those guys will jump off.
He'll jump off anything.
They will.
All right.
They really will. Anyway.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good afternoon.
There you go, sir. Thank
Bye.
You, my friend. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. This is the best show ever.
Thank you.
Hey, calling about the deal going on with the call letters in Hawaii. I attended the University of North Texas, and they switched their name midway through the 80s. From North Texas State, and the call letters for the campus radio station.
Now, is this going to be something that's crude, sir?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. So the call letters were KNTS until they changed the school name from the North Texas State to the University of North Texas.
KNTS.
KNTS.
Yes.
Exactly. And then when they made the switch, they had to... changes to the call letters that have evidently been reassigned to the place in Hawaii.
That whole thing is just because the FCC has, and you can actually look at the FCC list, they actually have this list of call letters that are available. There's this FCC website you can go to, and it'll list all the call letters that are currently not taken. And typically, somebody's telling me now that on the Corolla show yesterday, they actually did say the call letters of this station in Hawaii. And typically any call letters that when said as a word were profane or the sexual act or any call letters that were an ethnic slur or an epithet of any kind, they wouldn't issue. And so this guy either asked for the call letters or was given the call letters and just didn't realize it, or maybe he did realize it. It is also worth noting that in Colorado there is a KCUF, which apparently nobody really noticed until it was too late. And also, I believe I believe they did issue the call letters KWTF, which is fantastic. If only we'd been quicker on the draw to get those. All right. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Rick.
All right. 503-733-2970. Well, we got a little bit of time. Let's continue our hunt for the second worst story you've ever heard. So here's what we're going to do. We will read you two stories. We will then ask you to choose which of these stories is the worst. We have story number one, which is our reigning champion, and story number two, which is, in fact, the challenger. Story number one and story number two. As we proceed through story number two, please to be calling and telling us which story you find to be the most off-putting and horrific. Story number one and champion. A man rammed a pool cue into the
eye socket?
Lower. Into the
bottom
of a drunken friend with such force that it snapped off, leaving 31 centimeters stuck inside the man's bowel. The Tasmanian Supreme... Bowel is a funny word. The Tasmanian Supreme Court at Hobart has been told. Roofer Matthew Trippett, who previously pled guilty to a charge of grievous bodily harm, was given a six-month jail sentence, suspended for 2 years, and was ordered to perform 140 hours of community service. The court was told that Trippett had drunk alcohol at various locations around Hobart to celebrate the birthday of one of two friends with him at the time. Justice Crawford said the trio ended up at the Village Green Tavern east of Hobart, where the complainant crashed to the floor with his buttocks exposed while his friend ran around the pub in the nude. What kind of pub is this? He said Trippett had used considerable force to jam the pool cue in, including lateral force because it snapped in two. He said Trippett thought it was a big joke until the full extent of what he had done was revealed. In crippling pain, the complainant went home and removed the cue from his bottom. Unable to tolerate the agony any longer, he went to the Royal Hobart Hospital and underwent immediate surgery for a perforated colon. Doctors discovered that he could have died because bodily waste had been emptying into his body cavity for 3 days. Well, that's story number one. Story number two, the Challenger. A 13-year-old Essex boy is recovering in a hospital after the handlebars of his bicycle impaled his groin in a freak accident. The youngster, who has not been named, fell on the bicycle after clipping a curb on Canvey Island, Essex. Paramedics called firefighters, who had to cut away the rest of the bicycle with torches. The handlebars were too deeply embedded in his groin to be removed. An ambulance service spokesman said the bars impaled him in the left side of the groin by about 15 centimeters. It was a bit of a freak accident. We called the fire brigade, who came out and cut away the rest of the bike, and we gave the boy some pain relief. He did really well, bearing in mind what had happened. As soon as we got him into the Southland Hospital, he was taken right into surgery. Firefighters said they could not use special cutting equipment because the handlebars were so deeply impaled in the boy's thigh and groin. They had to use Allen keys to unbolt the bike from the handlebars, said a spokesman. The handlebars remained in his leg and groin until he was taken into surgery. There you go. There's your two stories. We will now take votes on which of those stories you find to be the worst. Pool cue prank ends in agony. That's story number one at 503-733-2970. Or boy, 13, impaled on handlebars. That's story number two. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we now go to the phones. Sarah, do you have an early guess, or do you want to make it known?
The handlebars.
Heck.
Oh, good Lord.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
I'm going to have to go with number two. Number one was good, but I think number two just is a lot more painful.
All right, it does seem painful, doesn't
it? Hey, Rick.
Yes.
Is it too late to get K-Lol?
K-Lol. K-L-O-L. That's a great idea. Let me look into it.
All right.
Thank you. Bye. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Definitely story number one.
Right.
It wasn't an accident.
That is true. The sort of the premeditated nature of the crime does seem to make it a little bit worse. All right, thank you.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Eric, no. Groin injury trumps rectal injury any day of the week.
Well, if only we had a story that somehow combined the two. All right, thank you. All right. Hi. Oh, what have I done? All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Hey, you got to go with number two. The fact that they actually had to use an Allen to get that thing out of there is... And the amazing part is he kept a stiff upper lip about the whole situation. I don't know what I would have done.
Yes. Well, he is British. All right. Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello.
Definitely the bike.
All right. Excellent. The bike. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find to be the more off-putting? Is that a belch?
I don't know.
It's just... Hello?
Is it a door stopper?
Hello?
Hi. Well done. Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi. This is Logan.
Of course, I might have known. Hello,
hi, Logan.
Hi, which story do you find to be the worst, Logan?
The first. The pool cue in the rectum is awful.
All right. Thank you. From the mouths of babes. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, it'd be hard-pressed to find one worse than number one, in my opinion.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You bet. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, stabbing through the... That's worse than stabbing through the skin and being impaled in your leg and groin.
You know, in the first story, the guy waited 3 days before going to the hospital, so it must not have hurt that bad.
Uh-huh.
On the other hand, he did have waste pouring into his bodily cavity. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, I think in terms of pain, the groin one is worse.
Yeah.
But it's just in general, I think the first one is worse just because of the fact that not only was it a pool cue in the rectum, but he almost died as a result of it.
Yeah, no, it's true. All right,
but, you know, a 13-year-old getting the handlebars in the groin can be pretty traumatic as well, though.
I mean, what do you tell your friends? That's a thing that's going to get passed around school pretty quickly.
You don't tell your friends.
All right, we're at a dead heat. All right, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, well, it's hard to beat 3 days of waste.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I already heard this story, though. It was on a Hawaiian station.
Really?
Station shunt.
Whoa. No,
oh, you
no,
can't
no,
say
no.
that.
Boo. Boo. See, you
started... Come on, you take it too far. Like,
seriously.
It's hilarious because everyone knows what it is, but you're not supposed to say it.
Yeah. Save it for the Liz Wiles show.
All right, yeah, seriously. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm not sure I'm ever riding my bike again.
All right, thank you. We'll count that as a vote for number two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Hello.
Ooh, number two.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Number two.
All right. I think it was a fake voice. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson. We'll finger this bank of calls here. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story is the worst?
I still believe number one, but I think you should have a walking tour of Essex now. Some of the fun you can see there.
Seriously, I don't know that kids have a walking tour of anything ever again. All right. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello. Number one is worse. It just clearly waste into your body cavity is worse. I mean... Okay. Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, three more calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story is the worst?
Handlebars of the groin is the worst.
All right. Thank you, my friend. All right. Two more calls. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Which story is the worst?
Any nasty creature digging itself a new home into your cranium is horrible. Number one, please. Out.
Number one.
Okay, but he said number one, but he was referring to the larvae in that guy's scalp.
Oh.
That's weird. It was like a call from 2 weeks ago. He said number one, but he said any creature digging a hole into your cranium is worse. Story number one. So do we even count that?
No, I don't think we should count that.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Radio Program. Final call. Which story do you find to be the worst?
Talk. I was actually thinking that the second story was worse, but, man, that story you guys read yesterday about that girl getting her head scalped.
Yeah, that's no good.
Yeah, that one was pretty unpleasant, too. But for today, my vote's got to go for number two.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. That was a pretty bad story. Okay, by a single vote.
Did he just do the anchor woman thing when she was introducing Holly Hunter? And he goes, talk. Okay. So
oh,
anyway,
yeah. He did.
I think he did.
That's a good question.
Oh,
it was
well
brilliant.
Done.
I can't believe you missed that.
Well done. I didn't even... Well, I'm glad you spotted that. I didn't notice that. That's excellent. Hey, did we have Steve Kastenbaum booked for 2:30?
No, Scotty tried to do it for 2:30, and I said 5:10 would be better.
All right. Guess who's on the phone?
Oh, man.
I don't even remember what we wanted to talk to him about.
Steve Kastenbaum.
Yeah, here he is. All right. Well, Sarah, this is why you're paid the big bucks. Do we have to just...
I think it was a miscommunication because he was scheduled for 2:10. So I think now at this time we can't give him ample...
Scotty, would you
time.
Please talk to Steve and explain that it's probably not going to work at this juncture, but we do apologize him. We do apologize and we thank him for calling at 5:30 his time. So thanks so much. It's just that we're not going to be able to give it the time it would really deserve.
You know what she did is because I originally scheduled him for 11:30.
I'm happy to...
11:30 our time.
All right.
Which is 2:30 her time. Whatever.
Jesus. It's like they just use a dartboard. All right. Tim Riley, are you preparing news for us?
Oh, yes. I have news aplenty.
Fantastic. We'll take a break, come back, news, and the top five slow dance songs of the 60s. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Apparently, I didn't actually announce the winner. I said by a single vote, and then I never said which story it was. By a single vote. The winner of the Hunt for the Second Worst Story Ever contest for today. Boy 13 impaled on handlebars. There you go. And then this, I love the British press too, because they don't have a picture of the bike. It's just a picture of a bike. All right. What am I doing here? All right, we got more phone calls on the way. We'll try to get to this top five. It may not happen. We've gotten to an astonishing number of things today, but we may not get to this top five. We'll bump it till tomorrow if we have to. Coming up tomorrow, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, and we will find out if Peter Criss will be joining us next week on the program. Ladies and gentlemen of the Ministry of Truth, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, some lane and ramp closures are required tonight so a company can fix a broken trailer carrying a 140-foot-long windmill blade. The trailer broke down today and is currently on the right shoulder of I-84 eastbound, just before the 122nd Avenue exit. So beware of the broken windmill blade. Meanwhile, we have six fresh sex abuse lawsuits filed today against the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland. And the first one goes to Sister Patricia Marianne.
Come on down. Well done.
Patricia Marianne.
Fantastic.
A nun and teacher at the Madeline School in Portland, accused of sexually abusing a boy as many as 100 times over a two-year period beginning in 1964. And our second sister is Sister Genevieve Marie.
Congratulations.
Good effort.
Well done.
She is a nun and teacher at St. James School of McMinnville, accused of physical and mental cruelty against a boy and a girl in the mid to late 50s, including harmful offensive touching. The complaint also names the Sisters of St. Francis of Philadelphia, the successor of the Sisters of St. Francis. Then we have Carl the Janitor. Carl the Janitor.
I'm not going to applaud for the janitor.
Of All Saints Parish School in Northeast Portland, accused of inducing a girl to engage in sexual acts dozens of times in the old boiler room during the 1980-81 school year.
You want to come to the boiler room with me?
And we have the Garden Variety Reverend Mailoress. The Reverend Thomas Laughlin is accused of providing a boy with alcohol and then sexually abusing her as many as 100 times at Central Catholic High School, where Laughlin was the boy's teacher, and at Maryhurst College, where the boy was Laughlin's altar boy. Then we have the Reverend James Harris accused of sexually abusing a boy four times from 1951 to 1954 at St. Joseph's Parish in Salem and at the priest's apartment. So you see, the sexual abuse didn't originate in the 1970s, as commonly thought. It goes back to the 1950s.
This is like a super clergy watch.
Yeah.
It's like some sort of summer spectacular clergy watch. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Are we... Let's close that out. Because I got to have faith. Oh, I got to have
faith. I got to have faith. Amtrak is trying to drum up business by offering $100 in free booze to customers on overnight trains.
Excellent. See,
I wouldn't want to get drunk with strangers on the train in the middle of the night.
What can possibly go wrong? This will be the thing where you'll wake up and you'll all have killed a guy in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Members of Amtrak's guest reward program can get $100 per credit for alcohol between November and January, just in time for the holidays. The offer for free drinks comes on top of free dinner wine, already included in some of the trips, which include the California Zephyr, which chugs between Chicago and San Francisco. That's one long bender. And Southwest Chief, which goes between Chicago and Los Angeles, or the Silver Meteor, that goes between Washington or Miami or Atlanta.
Now, is that Amtrak that goes between D.C. and New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig that. I've taken that train a couple of times.
Get drunk on it. $100 in free credits.
I don't tell my wife that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They considered ending alcohol service out of some concern that passengers would disembark at their destination or drive home while they were drunk. But that proposal was shelved.
I like how they didn't disagree with the outcome.
Right.
They just decided they didn't care.
Right.
It wasn't that they found that not to be true. They just realized it doesn't really matter to anyone.
No.
Hey, you're on the Rick Emerson Show, whoever you might be.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the people jumping off the bridge while they'd get hurt from a height. And
it's high.
because it's high and you create more speed as you go down, and any moving object going through a liquid, there's resistance from the liquid, and pretty soon the liquid molecules can't get out of the way the faster you go. And your listeners that have ever played with cornstarch will understand it, because you can use cornstarch and water and make a consistency to where you can move your hand through it real slow, but if you try and karate chop it, you'll go in about a quarter of an inch and stop.
Oh, I've seen that, actually. And it's sort of like a liquid that becomes a solid if you strike it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what water does. Once you get up, you know, above 100 feet, 150 feet, then water does the same thing.
And you reach like a terminal velocity, and then the water becomes effectively solid because you can't disperse it.
The molecules can't get out of the way in time. It's like hitting concrete.
So the Hawthorne Bridge, high enough to kill you?
I don't know how high that one is.
Anybody know?
I don't think so. It looks like smaller than some cliffs I've jumped off of.
I think it might break a leg or something. I don't think it'd kill
you.
Yeah,
well, I would guess, you know, if you belly flopped it, you know, you could crush your chest. So, you know, if you got lucky enough and hit feet first and angled in right, you might live through it.
All right, excellent. Thank you.
It is the Devil's Bridge.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
That's true. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. Hey, you make it hard to call in because every time I call in, there's some other subject that comes up that applies to my life, you know.
That's because we're broadcasting directly to you, sir.
this has nothing to do with why I called in, but my fourth grade teacher was a nun. I went to Catholic school 1 through 8th grade, and she was kicked out of the sisterhood for beating kids. I got beat from day one in fourth grade all the way through the end of it.
And did,
And they finally caught up with her, a few years later. But the reason I called in Sacramento, I don't know if you're familiar with the radio stations there. My dad used to run a country western station and
now,
stuff through
on.
His shop.
Hold on. Now,
I won't give you a call the number. I can give you the call letters. And it's not nasty.
Okay.
All right.
It's on you.
So this is in a barbershop. We always listen to crack radio.
Do you have the jipper work at crack?
I haven't. No, not yet.
All right. Fantastic.
If you want the numbers to check it out, to verify it, I can give it to you.
Oh, no, I believe you. I mean, there's a whole lot of those radio stations that have. I mean, there is a radio station in Washington State, a country station, KDRK, at which everyone just calls K-Dork. Everyone calls it that. And the radio station, it's like trying to get people here. There is, I shouldn't say this, a little bit of inside CBS talk. I shouldn't reveal this, but there are some employees at CBS. We have our sister station, Rock 101 KUFO. And KUFO, those are cool call letters. I remember telling Clyde, like, you've got to get on KUFO, man. But KUFO, that's a great call letters. There are a few employees of CBS Radio who insist on calling it KUFO. And they just say that to the undying horror of the marketing department. And the marketing department dies a little bit inside every time somebody calls it KUFO.
I'm just wondering if these guys haven't changed their format since I was there. That was quite a few years ago and stuff, that, you know, to run like Neil Sedaka or something in the background just so that the addicts feel like they're in an Albertsons stealing meth, you know, or, you know, stealing pseudoephedrine.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call.
All right.
All right. There you go. Sorry about the beatings. All right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Wow, this brief story has been a ratings bonanza for the news stations. Over 3 million people were tuned in to Larry King show last night. Usually it gets about 1 million.
Really?
Yeah, and Anderson Cooper, still 2 million, so they all hung in there.
Maybe we should send a whole bunch of helicopters to cover that all at once.
That'd be good.
I'm just saying.
And MSNBC also broke 1 million viewers, never before.
It really is. I'm looking at this footage, and again, you can see the footage of this bridge collapse. And apparently now we're being told it is a security camera. It's a city's security camera. The city of Minneapolis has a security camera there, pointed towards the bridge. And so now it's actually not. I guess it's not a jogger, but I guess it is maybe because there's this weird. Edit in the middle of the footage, and apparently it might have been somebody who saw the bridge start to buckle and is running, but boy, goddamn, is it terrifying.
Incidentally, I hope Clyde Lewis is listening, because this bridge is located in the district of that Muslim congressman.
Well, why didn't you
say
that?
The one who put his hand on the Quran instead of the Bible to be sworn in?
Mm-hmm.
Godlessness.
Well, you know, Tim, I think Jerry Falwell put it best.
He's not putting anything best anymore. There's no replacement for him either.
No. No, it's true. There really nobody has stepped in to fill those to fill that big belt of his.
Yeah, there's just nobody.
All right. Well, okay. Hey, by the way, just as a side note here, before we get these calls in, we have that winding down vibe to the show. But before we sort of wrap everything up, we give another break. We'll get some calls. Like us at 3, like us 101.5, down on Mike at 7. Blah blah blah. Did you see? So we're talking about. And I know you have a limited tolerance for the story because it's just so trashy and morbid. But, you know, that girl who was killed at the apartment building in Clackamas?
Oh, yeah.
What was her name? Countryman?
Yeah.
Carrie Countryman or whatever her name was. That 15-year-old girl, she goes to party with his sister, and the sister takes her to the place, and then they find her dead and whatever. So did you see, and it was on K2, I'll give credit where credit's due.
Right.
Did you see where they found that guy who posted on his MySpace page that he had had sex with her before she died?
I didn't see
what?
That, no.
Okay, so this is true. It was on K2. It was on KATU.com. You go there right now, you can see it. They had a screen capture of the guy's MySpace page.
Mm-hmm.
And reading it, he clearly didn't seem like he was making it up. He didn't seem all that bright. But the MySpace posting, it was like a screen capture of his blog. And his latest blog was like, it was like whatever her name is, like Danny Countryman, R.I.P., and then he's like, oh, it's just been a really stressful day. So I went to this party last night, and it's a long, rambling post. And it screams real because it's written really badly, but in the straightforward language of the common man. And the post is long and rambling. Let me see if I can find it, actually, while we're talking. But it says something like, so it's really weird. I went to this party last night, and then I was talking to this girl, and then one thing led to another, and then we ended up having sex. And so then we all kind of passed out. But then, boy, then, you know, the next thing I woke up, and she was, like, dead next to me. And, boy, it's really creepy, and I hope they find the guy who did it. And, boy, it's just, you know, rest in peace, Danny, and whatever. Okay.
I see it here.
Tito? Okay. Yeah, Tito is his name. Okay, it's coming up right here. Okay, let me read this. So this guy Tito, this is what his MySpace entry says. Met this wonderful girl, 16 years of age. She was supposed to leave back home for Texas the day she was murdered. On the night of the 27th, we threw, at T-H-R-O-U-G-H, we threw a going-away party for her at a friend's house. Everybody was drinking and having a good time. As the night surpassed, Danny and I were the only two awake while everybody else was going to sleep. We started to get a little more intimate and ended up having sex.
Now, he's 21 and she's 16.
Yes. She fell asleep afterwards and I restarted the movie, Chronicles of Narnia. I fell asleep later, cuddled up next to her with my arm around her. I woke up to her sister screaming, oh my God, she's dead. I jumped up to find that Danny wasn't by my side anymore. She was laid down at the bottom where my feet were with a blanket over her and she was dead. Eyes barely open with blood on her shirt. I didn't know what to think. R.I.P. Danny 72807.
Jeez.
Weird.
I mean, and
that
it's written.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, just the whole tone of it.
And how detailed it is, that seems a little suspect. I'm not saying anything about anything.
Well, And what seems.
He's 21, she's 16.
What? Yeah. And yeah. But first of all, he's confessing on his MySpace page to having statutory rape with a girl. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know what sounds so real to me about it is that he just sounds authentically. Like, just sort of like, these seem very much like his real emotions. Like, well, I had sex with her, and now she's dead. Whoa, that's weird. Life is really strange, Ted. You know, and that's it. Like, that's
some Clackamas thing.
Yeah. It's you know, it's just so weird. Anyway, so there you go. So, and on a big kind of pick-me-up. All right. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman in the history of the world. Back at 4, 5, 6, and 7. Top of the hour all the way through Likas. Do we have to break?
We could.
When we come back, Greg wants to come in on our second worst story. Steve asks, are we done with the Harry Potter spoiler talk? And Mike has a bridge comment. And then we got Likas at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You say there's the Rick Emerson radio show. Into the saddest part of the broadcast and the final segment of the Rick Emerson radio program. We're going to move through these quickly here. Hi, Greg. You're on the Rick Emerson show.
Hi, Rick. I just wanted to point out on the worst story in the world that with the first story you left out some vital information.
Yes, sir.
That is that the pool cue would have required two surgeries. one, to remove the dead tissue and the infected tissue, while at the same time pulling a piece of the bowel to the belly for a temporary colostomy, and then 4 months later going back in and hooking things back up.
Thanks so much. Thank you for illustrating that for us.
Well, that's why I think that number one's best.
I may actually bring both of those back and do them again tomorrow. The vote was really almost too close to call, and those two votes at the end, we had kind of a hanging chat thing.
All right. Well, just wanted to make sure all the information was there.
All right. Thank you.
But the gouging, because it's true with Aaron and his tube of fat, that means that what happened is that the handlebar had to have separated and had to have made a hole to go through that deep.
Yeah.
Which means that it had to have severed some pretty important things down there.
Yes. You should put that email from Aaron on your blog so people can read it.
No.
It's a great email. Hi, Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. I have been trying to keep up with your show.
Yes.
And I hope I'm not being redundant, but have you talked about Harry Potter? Are we in the free talking about questioning zone yet?
Well, I think so, because I think we said through last week.
Yeah, so we were actually talking about this Monday, but we never did.
Yeah. So I think we never really got to it. Thank you for pointing it out, Harry Potter. We're past the, I mean, we'll still warn people that we're going to do spoilers, but we're past the media blackout.
Okay. Can I present one question? I know you're running out of your show, but maybe ponder it tomorrow.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a question. How did Gryffindor's sword end up in the hat that flew down on Neville's head? How did Neville get his hand on the Gryffindor sword?
Because the sorting hat was on Neville's head, and Neville reached into the sorting hat and pulled the sword out.
Yeah, but the last thing I knew was the little goblin in Gringotts had, I got it and ran away with it. So how did he get from the...
But he had the fake sword. Was the fake sword in Gringotts.
No, that was the real sword. That was the sword they used to reach up and grab the... See, this is the biggest nerd conversation I've ever had. But they had to have a real sword because they in all earnestness, were going to destroy that cup.
No, he gets back the sword after they're kidnapped and brought back to the Malfoy's house. And then they exchange the swords. Or is that before that?
Oh, no, I don't know. Now my brain is locking up because I'm under all this pressure. We'll talk about it tomorrow, sir.
Peace.
Thank you, Steve. There you go. No time to be fair to another caller. Sorry about that if we didn't get to you. We appreciate you. Call us tomorrow, my friends. Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day with the lovely and talented Sarah Stone, Prime 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. Tim Riley, see you all tomorrow. Like us next. Don't let the best. We're going to watch everything. Bye now.
I like that.